Okay, band meeting. Brett.
Yes.
Jermaine.
Also yes.
Murray, present. Of course. Right. Oh, yes, item one.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
It's not easy to scream inside of a bottle.
Isn't he, crazy?
Nobody can beat Casey Gideon.
No, why is that? Because you...
stuck them high and I let them fly.
That's what I thought, yeah.
I stuck them deep and I sell them cheap.
They can't compete against you, Crazy Gideon.
They cannot. You know why?
Why?
Because I'm crazy.
That's right.
And if you don't want to be, you're crazy.
That's right. That's what I'm
saying. Isn't he, crazy?
And now... our feature presentation.
What the F was that?
Your face is so funny.
That's awesome.
It's our friend Jed the Fish. He's back on the radio.
Oh, that's good news.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a special language.
I'm not positive what he said there, but sounded funny. What's happening, everybody? Kevin and Bean Show, 531. It is Monday, the 20th.
30th.
It's the 30th.
Yes.
Of March. Kapow, pow.
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
So was it the kind of vacation that you're tan, rested, and ready to come back to work? Or the type of vacation where you come back and go, oh, dude, I need a week to recover from that vacation?
No, I think I'm ready.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, it was a good vacation. Good. It's all except cool. For the Graceland thing. Everything else is pretty cool.
All I want to hear about is how awesome was Graceland.
Well, I may not be the guy to fully appreciate.
You love Elvis.
Elvis is home.
He's your favorite.
Just not all that interested.
I've maybe been to Graceland, I don't know, 10 times maybe.
Here's my thing about Graceland, though. Even if you love Elvis, I mean, it's a giant house. It's pretty interesting. You know, he's got all his records and stuff.
Yeah, I would like to see the house.
Yeah.
And, that'd be cool.
But super, super cheesy and really just, really all it is a reason to sell, you know, Elvis thimbles and, you know, little crap like that.
It's weird, Lisa, because it's frozen in time. I mean, it looks the way it did in 1977.
Right.
So everything just looks like a piece of crap. You know, at the time, it was pretty nice stuff. But now you look at it and go, wow, no one would ever have anything like that in their house.
Well, it was pretty gaudy even for the time, wasn't it? Just kind of like
absolutely
over the top.
Yeah. You're saying Elvis didn't have good taste?
Not at all. Not at all.
What a shock. But, Bean, how can you go 10
times? That was my question.
I can't go anywhere 10 times.
Even if you like Elvis, how do you go to that place 10 times?
What could be new about it?
It has been a while
since 77.
Right?
Nothing.
It's been a while since I've been. But they do continue to add on to the neighborhood. I mean, it's shocking. I mean, here's a guy who has been dead since before many of our listeners were born, okay? Yet he has shopping center after shopping center of just stores that sell nothing but merchandise related to Elvis or restaurants that are Elvis-themed. I mean, it's just unbelievable how much stuff there is for one dude who's been dead that long.
But most of it is just worthless crap.
Yeah.
Well, there's some of that.
I mean, that's why I saw it one time before and I was done. That was it for me. But I don't like Elvis really much. But
still, even if you did.
Yeah. Even if you did.
Good.
What's there to see? You go through the house and then you leave and then you go across the street and that's where you buy just ridiculous stuff. I tried
the
to
Elvis
buy
decanter, right?
Yeah, exactly. I tried to find shot glasses and the stupid little collectible spoons and all that just BS. It's just all crap, and they put his name on it.
I like I like the graves too because I love death. So you actually get to stand there and be 6 feet away from Elvis, which is kind of cool.
Well,
I like that.
6 feet away from his body, which is long gone, I imagine.
Right. Some bones, maybe.
Yeah.
By the way, we are going to take your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067 for the Monday morning edition of Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew. We are going to get to that to a minute. You know, if I remember correctly, it's been a while since I've read up on this, but if I remember correctly, originally they did not bury him at the house. They buried him in a cemetery, but then after a plot to steal the body, that's when they realized Elvis's body wouldn't be safe, so that's when they moved it into the backyard.
Awesome!
Yeah.
How ridiculous is it that they have to go, all right, what do we do about people trying to steal his dead body? That's the best. Elvis fans are crazy.
That's how he ended up in the backyard. They are crazy. And do they still have that that wall out front with all the graffiti from people from all over the world who leave their love messages for Elvis?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like a cement wall out in front, and it's just every single little centimeter is covered with a thought from somebody that had to write on it.
How can there be any space left for anyone new?
There, I mean, it's just it's absurd.
Yeah,
it's really just ridiculous. But
and the people, I mean,
people are the best.
You always want to think it's, you know, me accepted, but maybe, you know, maybe I'm one of them when I'm there. But the people that go to Graceland, you look at them and you go,
no,
dude.
You're incredibly hip compared to the people that go there.
And that's saying something.
The people that go to Graceland are just, they're just losers. You know, they're just losers. They just, they're fat,
but you were there too.
Fanny packs. I know. I'm not saying I'm not a loser. I'm not sure if the pictures are up yet, but I got a couple of them. One is of me. You know how you hold the camera out in front of yourself to take a picture of you with whatever?
Right.
My head's too large to do that. So you can see the fence on the like the left front, but that's about it. That's about it.
Okay. All right.
So good times.
Well, any minute now, Mark and Brian are going to call in, and it's going to be breach of contract or something that we've exceeded our limit of being able to talk about Elvis because they own it. I don't know what the deal is, but
I hope I never have to go back.
Well, you did it for my wife. To satisfy your wife.
I did it for my wife. She's never been. She likes Elvis, and she was fascinated by it, and that helps if you're with somebody who really appreciates it, you know?
True. Right.
But then I keep making my little comments about how ridiculous it is, and why don't we buy, you know, why don't we go buy some crap, and then that kind of annoyed her, so I don't know.
She may make you go back because you were an ass?
No! I was an ass, but I'm not going to go back.
All right.
Are you high? That place sucks. All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
Rock. We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
All right. I have not read this yet, so we'll be learning it together. Here's what you get for being on the air at 1-800-520-1067. Oh, pretty good. It's a pair of tickets to join K-Rock at Six Flags Magic Mountain for spring break starting on Saturday, April 11th. That's your prize just for getting on the air with us today.
That's already a week from Saturday, isn't it?
It sure the heck is.
All right. Let's begin with Justin in Malibu. Good morning, Justin.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hello.
Hey, so I was down in Manhattan Beach this weekend on Saturday, and next thing I know, we're at the bar drinking, and about 60 people walk in all wearing Snuggies.
What?
Oh,
you're kidding.
No way.
You didn't know about this? What's the Poncho Patrol doing?
I guess
you're sleeping.
I'm not an official member of the Poncho Patrol, but I was at least looking for something to go
on. Of course.
What'd you do?
Dude.
I just had to wait, and you know, I was waiting for the Poncho Patrol. No one showed up. So
what are you people in the Poncho Patrol doing? Are you sleeping at the wheel?
100%.
Come on.
I had no idea there was a
This was Psycho Mike's job, was to monitor when the pub crawl with the Snuggie people was going to be, so he could get the Poncho Patrol in action to go down there and F them up. But apparently the Snuggies are a little smarter than the Poncho Patrol, it sounds like.
It sounds like it to me. I mean, I was there.
When the group of people who wear a blanket with arms outsmart you.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me tell you something. If you ever go, you don't ever want to be a part of a Snuggie pub crawl. It's just embarrassing for everyone else.
Of course. It's absurd. Stupid Psycho Mike. All right. I may have to join the Poncho Patrol. If you want something done, you got to do it yourself, you know?
Apparently so. You can't stand back and wait for Psycho Mike to get spring into action. That's for sure.
And he had a lot of support. There were a lot of people calling up wanting to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Wow, you let him down. Peter in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thanks.
Hey, I believe Billy Mays is going to have to wait a while. You had him on your show last week.
Yeah.
Right.
Calling Vince out.
Right.
That's right.
Oh, because Vince got in trouble.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Vince. Yeah. Is that story true?
I think so.
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow.
Yeah, I'm sure Ralph will have more details for us in the Showbiz Beat coming up. Yeah, they didn't charge him with soliciting. They didn't charge her with hooking. But, boy, it's awful. Go to TMZ and see the after photos of the hooker. She apparently was biting his tongue and wouldn't let go.
Which
just seems like bad form for a prostitute. You know, that's not what you pay him for.
You don't want a pit bull.
And apparently he pulled out the champagne, so that's
very bad
situation.
Oh, you know what you can do if somebody bites and won't let go?
Right. Oh, you stick your finger.
Oh, that's what you do.
Exactly.
That's, that's extra, though. He only paid her $1,000,
that's
Kevin.
What
Come
I
on.
Hear. You got to get him to release somehow.
Kevin, you were gone last week, and we had the great Billy Mays in, the world's greatest television pitch man.
What did he sell you?
Well, I would have bought anything.
Besides everything.
Is he magnetic, Lisa? You couldn't stop listening to the dude. The enthusiasm, the excitement, you just can't believe how ramped up that dude is.
Yeah, about crap, too. That's the amazing thing, is he could sell you anything, because it's most of the time it's just like, you know.
See, I didn't get that impression. He explained to us that he takes a, you know, he watches very closely. He gets, they try to get him thousands of companies and thousands of products a year try to hire the great Billy Mays because he performs. He sells, right? And he is very, very particular about the stuff that he chooses because he wants to make sure it's good stuff that it's going to sell a lot that people are going to be happy with because he makes a percentage. He makes very little up front, makes it from, you know, when the products end up selling millions of items, that's when he makes his cash.
Yeah, but it's because he's an amazing salesman. The ShamWow is just a rag.
ShamWow's awesome, dude.
It really is that he makes sound like you can't live without it. That's his magic.
Absolutely. He's great.
Well, it's the best.
We were all so exhausted. You could have rung us out after he left the studio on Thursday. I'm telling you, he's a pro.
I can see that. Jake in Chino. Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
What's going on?
What's going on, dude?
Hey, I got a story for you about a Vegas trip.
Yep.
Me and my friends pretended to be something we were not to have more fun.
Always fun. Who did you pretend to be?
Well, my buddy was an aspiring screenwriter, and we decided to go with that. I pretended to be an actor, and another friend of mine pretended to be a director, and we had a couple more guys with us. And so we're in this club. We get bottle service. Everybody's treating like movie stars and everything. So we get this bachelorette party of like 18 girls. And they're all from Canada, and we ended up having a good night and everything, and they ended up coming back to our room.
All 18 girls?
Oh, yeah. We were staying at the Wynn in the luxury suite.
Really?
I got a promotional offer. I went down.
Nice.
It was an amazing. It was the best Vegas trip ever.
You guys rule for running into a bachelorette party and going, all of you, back to our room.
And having the room to back your stories.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
It was packed. There were two beds. It was completely packed. We threw on the music. We had a lot of alcohol in the room. It was amazing.
Wow.
All right. Let me ask you this, because most people, I guess maybe in Las Vegas it's different. In Los Angeles, most people aren't that impressed if you're a screenwriter or an actor. But did you have to make up, did you and your friends have to make up credentials as the things that you've done so you can get some glint of recognition that they might think you're really famous?
No, well, we're pretty young, so all we basically said is that it's our first movie, we're launching it, we're going to Cannes, you know, we're going to have it at our film festival, and we're basically launching it. We said it was my buddy's birthday, so we had the birthday thing going. And
wow, I like that. I like that you guys shoot so low. Your cover story could have been anything.
That's right.
And you chose people who had not succeeded yet in life.
But the beautiful thing is, though, about his story is they can't source it.
Yeah, that's
they can't.
True.
If he walked in there and said, "Oh, I wrote Monsters versus Aliens," well, that's the type of thing that they can research. But this one, who knows whether they really got a movie going to Cannes? Everybody starts somewhere. If it worked,
exactly.
Dude, I gotta give you credit, man.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you.
I find it hard to believe that all 18 came back, but okay,
I do too. Right. That seems
free
unlikely.
Alcohol.
I'm willing to go with it because I want it to be true.
Sure.
All right, let's go to Eric in North Hollywood. Good morning, Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
Hey, good morning, guys. What up, baby boo?
What up, Eric?
What's going on?
I just want to let you guys know I went and saw Monsters vs. Aliens, the most amazing 3D movie I've ever seen in my life.
We just talked to a couple of guys who wrote that.
Yeah,
a second ago.
It was great. I bet they wrote it. the 3D just amazing. I mean, the things were just popping out right in front of you. I think I reached out about five or six times to try to grab the movie, actually.
But you still,
well, you're slow.
You still have to wear the dumb plastic glasses, right?
But they're not those paper ones with the blue and red. It's like these, like, upgraded, almost like the kind of glasses you buy at 7-Eleven kind of crap.
Wow, so that is an upgrade. Wait a minute, you're telling me that they're upgraded to glasses that look like the kind that you might be able to buy at a 7-Eleven?
It's better than those paper ones that you could get.
Yeah, it's way better than those paper ones, yeah.
Huh. And did you get to keep them, or they collect them at the end of the
movie? You got to return them. I guess they wipe them down with sanitary wipes or whatever.
Yeah, that's what they tell you. That's what they tell you, but they had other people stink all over them.
You want to go to the first screening Friday, and that's it. That's the only one that's acceptable.
All right, thanks for the call. Anyone here see that?
No, Mr. Movie Phone told us about the animation, thought it was amazing.
That's what they say about every single movie.
No, and that's what he said. And he said, I know that's what they say, but I'm telling you, this is a step above anything I've ever seen.
Wow, all right.
He tells us that they're not going to be able to make animated movies 2D anymore after this because they're just going to look like dog poop.
Did he say dog poop?
No, he okay. didn't. I'm paraphrasing.
Just checking. All right, I don't know what's on today's show. So, Bean, why don't you fill us in?
All right, we got a few things to look forward to. First of all, we debut a new page on the Kevin and Bean website today that's going to help you find a job. We have finally come up with a way to do that because lots of people are hurting. And it's the we're going to debut that just after 7 o'clock this morning. Kevin and Bean Give You a Hand job page is going to be debuted this morning.
I read that and I thought, what are we doing? What is happening?
Also, a recap of last night's Celebrity Apprentice, the Dennis Rodman meltdown. We've got a guy who has invented, and this is the new rocket ride to riches these days, is you invent yourself an iPhone application because there are thousands of them,
yeah.
And some of them are unbelievably successful. I mean, they sell millions and millions of copies. This is a guy who has invented a new iPhone app that you can block anyone in your address book, anyone in your phone, so that you can't text them or call them for the period of a week. And it's the bad decision blocker because here you are, you're trying to break up with somebody and you keep calling them. Well, now you're not going to be able to. And we got to find out if it works in reverse, too, if they can't call you.
Does it have to be a full week or can you set the time?
I guess we'll find out about
that.
That's
awesome.
Yeah. You know, there are people who go out to drink to forget someone and they get a few under and then they're 11 to 30, they're all of a sudden they're back on the phone, you know, begging her to come back. Well, now you're not going to be able to do that, which I think is very, very funny. Of course, Kevin Bean's April Foolishness Show is this Friday night at the Gibson Amphitheater. We're going to give you a chance to win those tickets. We got an update from Harvey Levin at TMZ.com. He can tell us more about the Vince situation. Also, in the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to have a discussion about the LeBron James interview on 60 Minutes last night. Have you seen the shot yet, Kevin?
No.
Well,
it's pretty amazing.
Amazing. We'll tell you about it in the 6 o'clock hour. But basically, it's got to be 3/4 of the length of a basketball court. He's standing there with Steve Croft, and Steve says, "You can do anything with that basketball." And he just turns and he just underhands it like 75 feet, nothing but net.
Are you kidding?
No.
And the video is up at KROQ.com, and the TMZ first posted it a few days ago. And I'm shocked by the comments that people started leaving instantly. With people who, A, don't believe it happened, think the whole thing was faked.
Right.
And B, the people who have so much hate for LeBron James.
Really?
I think could be the next president of the United States. He's so likable.
Yeah, I mean, he does seem likable. Is it just sports fans of other teams that automatically hate him because he's, you know, great?
I'm sure that's some of it. But when you read these comments, and we'll read some of them, and maybe we'll talk about what's going on with that, you just can't believe that anyone could hate LeBron James that much. Like, what has he – name one thing he's ever done that hasn't been classy.
He does throw the hand powder up in the air before every game. He does that.
He does. Chalk or whatever
it is. Yeah, that probably chokes some people. Maybe there's a few from that. Other than that, I mean,
let's face it. If the Lakers can't win the championship – I want it to be the Cavaliers. I want to see LeBron get a ring.
Let's not already start jumping to that conclusion if you don't mind.
No, I'm just saying in the unlikely event of. I'm just saying it would be nice for LeBron. But it's just shocking how much hate there is for LeBron. So we'll talk about that. And, of course, we'll unveil not only give away the Depeche Mode in Berlin trip, but we'll unveil a new event that you're going to want to be at this weekend. It involves one of the all-time great K-Rock bands. All that coming up at the 7 o'clock hour. A quick break. We come back. Ralph's got the showbiz beat next thing. Ralph Garman, Kevin Ryder, Kevin Ryder, Ralph Garman. I want you two to get to know each other.
I know the dude.
Ralph and I date.
That's right.
Okay.
Did I say that out loud? Sorry. Monday morning, Ralph is here with the showbiz beat for a new week. What's going on?
He's only gone for a week, man.
Yeah. I can go longer if that's an option.
Please don't. Please don't. I thought of you, Kevin, this morning. I realized you were lying about your love of Elvis.
What are you talking about?
I know you love him more than you say.
Not a big fan.
That going to Graceland was your idea.
Not really.
Because this weekend, one very wealthy Elvis fan picked himself up the powder blue jumpsuit the King wore at Madison Square Garden in 1972. Kevin.
For how much money?
How much do you think a powder blue jumpsuit that Elvis wore at the MSG in 1972?
I would hope $15 or less.
15, close.
Yeah.
Yeah. $212,000.
Not interested.
I was thinking $30,000.
That seems
crazy.
Ridiculous.
$212,588.40 to be exact.
Oh, my God.
Bidding started at $100,000.
Oh.
So you couldn't even get in for less than.
Apparently, the recession is not hurting everyone.
Not everyone, no. Not you, apparently.
Yeah.
You and your wife.
Elvis
now
was still around. What
gonna
would
wear
he
that
be doing if he was around today?
You know, his wife loves Elvis, So Kevin puts on the jumpsuit, I'm sure, and runs around the house.
I gotcha.
That's what it is.
Giggity, giggity.
Up there at Densland, which is what Kevin's palatial estate is known as.
Densland?
Densland, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. So. Congratulations
to that place sucks.
The writers. Today's celebrity birthdays. No, today's top 10 movies at the box office. We do that every Monday morning. Let's see who's making money. Apparently, Monsters vs. Aliens, that is a movie people enjoy. At least they did this weekend. $58.2 million in major.
Wow.
Monster numbers for Monsters vs. Aliens. The Haunting in Connecticut was number two. But,
what's coming out of that dude's mouth in those commercials?
I don't want to think about it.
What the F is that?
I think it's the same smell that comes out of Doto's mouth whenever he's talking to me. I just somehow they managed to capture it on film.
Just the video version.
Yeah. $23 million. It made number two at the box office this weekend. Knowing, the Nicolas Cage movie, was third. I Love You, Man came in at number four. Then Duplicity was number five. Race to Witch Mountain? That mountain over there.
You are not still using that joke.
Number six at the box office. 12 Rounds in its debut came in at number 7. Watchmen, Taken, and The Last House on the Left came in at number 10 of the weekend's hot movies, according to Variety. You know who misses Jenny McCarthy?
No.
Her ex-husband, John Asher.
Does he?
This is the dude she had her child with. They have an autistic son named Evan together.
Right. And then the defective one, right?
And then she went on to date Jim Carrey.
Right.
Well, John misses her because in a recent interview he said he's jealous and thinks Jim Carrey's a very lucky man because Jenny is a freak in bed.
Wow.
He says Jenny likes everything, especially to invite other women into bed to spice things up.
Yes.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Wow. Once she invited three women to join us, he said.
Wow.
That's a nice way to talk about the mother of your child to the public, by the way.
She'd be the subject of most of the attention, he said, but she always kept me in the mix. Jenny was a freak in the sack and beyond. There are some things that she's done I thought no woman will ever do that.
Wow.
It's a hell of a show.
Hmm. Now I gotta know.
Now I gotta know, too. We gotta talk to John Asher. Pump him for some info.
We should play the lightning interview of Jim Carrey and see if there are any hints in there.
Maybe Jim was talking about their sex life.
Because, you know, now that he's married to her, let's see.
How are you doing, Jim? Lightning through. Man, I was skinny and like this. I know. I've gained 30 pounds and now it's disgusting.
Well, nothing there. So much info.
That happened
from Jim.
How about Mike and Mr. Carey next time, Light?
Nope. Light thought he was doing a stand-up chunk, apparently, and Jim was heckling him from the audience.
Screw him.
Yeah. And you guys have touched on it. Vince Shlomi.
That's his name?
Better known as ShamWow Vince. Got arrested in Miami Beach in February, by the way. So this is not a new story.
Wow.
This happened some time ago. But the information is just coming to light thanks to Smoking Gun, the website. They've got the arrest documents and the booking photos. But the story, as you mentioned earlier today, is the fact that Vince was staying at a upscale Miami hotel. He met a prostitute named Sasha Harris at a nightclub, and he paid her, he claims, $1,000, prepaid her for straight sex. Well, here's the thing. You never prepay a prostitute. If anything, if I've learned anything in my years,
is that your advice to the
don't
kids?
Don't prepay the prostitute.
Why, do they run?
Yes! Or they will hork you out of whatever promises were made. You do not prepay strippers or prostitutes. They get their money after the services have been provided.
Okay.
They went back to the room. Suddenly, she got sassy. No one knows why. They were making out. She bit Vince's tongue and would not let go.
Wow.
He punched her several times in the face.
Dear God.
Wow.
Then ran down to the lobby to call the cops with his tongue bleeding. Mm. Turns out cops showed up. They were both arrested for felony aggravated assault. Battery, rather. But prosecutors decided not to file former charges. Because they couldn't find any blood. The ShamWow absorbed it all.
Is that right?
Cleaned it right up. Every last drop.
20 times its weight in blood.
Couldn't find one drop. The CSI team came in. They got out the ultraviolet light. Could not find any blood. No evidence.
Wow.
ShamWow
about that?
Picked it up like
picked
that.
Picked it right up.
Yeah. And it's right in Germany, you know. And those Germans make good stuff.
They do.
That's what I understand, yeah. I have a hooker question, since you are the show's leading authority on prostitutes. I thought the hookers didn't kiss. I was surprised to see that anyone could get their tongue bitten, because I thought that was one of those intimate things that hookers didn't do.
You got to stop watching Pretty Women. first of all, to get all your hooker information. Hookers are all individuals, man.
Yeah.
They all do different things. There's no hard and fast rules.
Okay,
hooker can do whatever she wants.
So some kiss.
Some kiss.
Get your tongue bit to the point where they won't let go, though? Is that that usually come with
that? That's usually extra. I'm surprised he just got that for the straight grand, because usually you have to pony up a little extra cash for the...
That is preferable to other things you could have bitten.
That's true.
Well, I mean, that's not so bad.
Could have been deeper into the transaction. Things could have gone worse for Vince Shlomi.
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow.
Yeah.
By the way, I got this sent that story a lot over the weekend, and I appreciate it from the K-Rock...
Ralph at krock.com.
No, I got it. I'm saying I already got it.
You need that?
Yeah, we have seen that. Definitely.
But several of the emails were, in the subject line, had champow. And I said, that is the worst thing ever. Who would ever say that?
Hmm.
And then Bean said it this morning.
First thing. Right out of the gate.
Right
out.
He was geeked to do it.
I was so happy. So pleased that he got that in. Gave her the champow. Oh, he was ready to retire for the day.
I'm standing by it.
He was ready just to do good luck, everybody. Just, show his hands and just leave the shift. He was ready to go back to the break room.
He was good after that.
He was pretty pleased with himself.
You know, does it ring a bell being she's Chinese but born in Japan?
No, okay. She's a white hooker.
She's white woman. About, no.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Warren Beatty is 72 years old today. Musician Eric Clapton.
Yeah, Eric.
Celebrates his 64th birthday. You know, I was thinking, I know Eric Clapton's God and Slow Hand and blah, blah, blah. Over the weekend, I heard someone blasting out of their car at 11, Cocaine.
Great song.
Never need to hear that ever again. Ever need to hear that song again.
Wow, when Ralph says that.
That, yeah. Layla, too, you can take that with you.
Yeah, fantastic.
Both Ralph was still listening to Eddie Money's first album.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Clapton, dude.
Don't need to hear it
it's
again.
It's the first sign of good taste from Ralph we've gotten in about a month.
Paul Reiser is 52 years old today. MC Hammer turns 46. Ian Ziering is 45 years old today. Who's he banging? Somebody hot, right? Isn't Ian Ziering?
He was banging Nikki Ziering.
Yeah.
Her for a while.
Right.
She's way hot.
Now he's working at Arby's or something, right?
Okay. MC Hammer.
Celine Dion is 41 years old today. Singer Norah Jones turns 30. And the King of Mexico tells me someone named Jason Doering is celebrating a birthday today. Apparently he was on Veronica Mars.
Okay.
So that's what happens when you let the King of Mexico give you the birthday list. Mm. You end up talking about some extra from Veronica Mars.
One episode.
He's 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
What have we done to make the animals all mad at us? Is there something that's common wisdom? I mean, is it because we're in impinging on their area? Are we abusing animals? What's the animal
A
testing?
And B and C, those all seem like good points.
They're all angry, and they do not like us.
Yeah.
I think they definitely seem to be fighting back. It does seem increasingly we see stories where the animals are attacking.
Well, here's one in Arizona out of Cottonwood. A bobcat walked into a roadside bar. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a setup for a joke,
yes,
I know.
Yes, it does.
What happened next apparently was pandemonium. 2 or 3 minutes of this thing just going crazy, scratching people.
Oh, wow.
People were jumping up on tables. They had their cell phones out. It was just a complete nightmare. And it had rabies.
That's bad news for the bartender who got his face all scratched up.
And apparently it was like the second or third place this bobcat had torn up.
When animals get rabies, they do that. They get super aggressive.
They were that this
raccoons
bobcat,
have like
not happy.
Jumped on people and not let go when they're rabid.
You know what you do?
Stick your finger. Yeah.
I love the bartender in that story too, by the way. He's like, well, bartenders are supposed to be authority figures, but he wouldn't listen to me at all. The bobcat wouldn't have none of what I was saying.
And then he said, yeah, it didn't feel too good. That was his quote. So there's that one. There's the bobcat, and then there's the vulture that crashed through the minivan and maimed a woman.
That's scary.
A woman was injured. A turkey vulture, which, by the way, is not in any way related to a vulture. Seems odd, but okay.
No, these are the vultures that you see, the ones that go after the roadkill. That's who we're talking about.
Smashed here. Right through the front windshield and hit her in the face.
Oh, no.
That is a bird that really wants to hit that woman in the face to go through a front windshield.
Oh, my God.
So by the way, I'd also like to point out
yes.
that when the animals are attacking, this is obviously a kamikaze vulture, too, by the way, because you don't survive that. I mean, you basically are giving it up. You say, all right, I'm willing to let one of us die for one of them. If we can take out a human, it'll be worth it.
It's not easy for these animals to get where we are. It's not like we're in the forest and this is happening. We're driving in a car, in a bar. They do not like us at all. And the final story comes out of New Mexico. A 26-year-old Curry County man. Had his arm nearly severed by a 900-pound boar.
Oh,
got
no.
Got attacked by a pig.
Oh, my God.
Reaching in its pen to get a water hose or something. The pig just destroyed him.
That's a weird story to me.
So he owned the pig.
Yeah.
That's a weird story to me. That this boar.
Right. Yeah, this guy has like a, I don't know what he's got, a dozen pigs or something like that. I mean, he raises them. So that's what's weird to me is that they would have been, it's not like he came across them in the wild and was trying to steal his piglet or something. He was just basically out there just feeding and watering them.
He was taking care of
it. And the pig just reached up and ripped his arm off.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I wish that would happen to Bean.
Oh, come on.
Well, we had Alex, our producer, line up an expert on bizarre animal behavior since this seems to be happening so often.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, we're looking for our animal expert behavior.
Yes, this is Dr. Kurt Langstrom. How are you?
I'm sorry.
Hi, Dr. Langstrom.
Hello.
Did I hear that sentence again, Kevin?
We're looking for our bizarre animal behavior expert.
That would be me, Dr. Okay. Kurt Langstrom, yes.
Okay.
Kurt Langstrom.
Here at the Bizarre Animal Institute.
Oh, you have what? One. I didn't know you had one.
BAI,
okay.
You like to call it.
Okay.
This are we just noticing these stories more, or are they happening more frequently where animals are attacking humans?
No, they absolutely are happening more frequently, and animals are attacking humans on a more regular basis, which we all believe here at the BAI is very concerning to all of us.
Right. What are you able to put your finger on what the problem is?
If an animal is attacking, we do tend to put our finger on it.
No, yes. I mean, are you able to identify why they're so angry?
Yeah, they're really pissed off.
Uh-huh.
That's the best we can discern at this
right,
point.
But
that's quite a study.
I think we're hoping for why.
Well, maybe you should ask somebody.
Somebody at the Bizarre Animal Institute?
Maybe.
For example?
Maybe you should ask some of the animals themselves. They don't seem to be too talkative with us, but maybe they would give you a better answer.
How do we reach them?
You know, I can put them on the phone with you, each of the animals, and you can talk with them and ask them your questions.
Oh, they're there with you. Okay.
Yes, we have all of the animals in those stories that you mentioned here on the Institute. We're studying them.
Oh, that's great
now,
news.
Why is it they won't talk to you, Doctor, but you think they'll talk to us on the phone?
I think they're angry at us.
I see.
Because
okay.
We keep probing them and taking their blood and giving them rectal exams.
Wow, well, you should stop that.
And they all seem to really enjoy your show.
Wow.
So maybe they would talk to you on the radio.
Which do you have there handy? You got the bobcat, you got the vulture, you got the...
Yeah, I was going to do a funny vulture bit, but you said he died in the story, and I didn't know that, so it's hard to do him.
Oh, I see.
But yeah. They just thought he was dead, but then he came back.
No,
he's fine now.
Definitely heard you say he was a kamikaze vulture, and he died.
No, Bean said he was willing to die.
No, I heard death.
Okay, so no, not so much the vulture.
Probably
okay.
Going to scratch that one off.
All right,
would have been funny.
Scratch off the vulture.
Yeah.
Okay, how about
well,
the
bobcat?
Well,
maybe there's another vulture there who knew the guy. Maybe, is there one there who might have known the vulture the guy?
Shut up, Omar. Fun?
Wait, who's in the background there?
That's my assistant, Omar.
Wow, that's odd.
Why don't you talk to the 900-pound pig first?
Would love to.
All right.
Okay. Would love
that's
to.
Great.
Okay. Put him on the phone.
Okay, here, piggy. Here, piggy.
Well, be careful there because they do tend to rip your arm off.
Piggy.
Come on.
Hello, Kevin and
B. You are the 900-pound pig in Clovis, New Mexico, who ripped your owner's arm off?
Do you care?
Well, yeah, we're just kidding. Well, why did you attack is what we're wondering.
I was hungry.
Of course.
I've recently lost my job. I can't afford food.
Wow. But this guy was trying to feed you.
Really?
Well, that's what the story said.
Really?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Do you
do that?
Well, we were surprised, frankly. So, just hungry, it just looked like an easy meal, huh? That's the story?
Really?
Okay. Do you have the bobcat there who walked into the bar?
Do you care?
Well, yeah, if you have a
sort
handy,
we'd love to talk to him.
I think so. Hold on a second. I'll get the bobcat.
All right.
Bobcat.
Bobcat's in shoe. What?
That's a 900-pound pig right there.
Yeah. Wow.
We close, bobcat.
You're the bobcat from Cottonwood, Arizona?
Yeah. I walked in this bar and the people are looking at me. So, I go, step.
Do you mind if I ask, what were you doing in a bar?
I was looking for a drink.
Okay, all right.
And they said, we don't serve your kind.
And then you attacked the bartender right in the face, it says here.
I hate racist bartenders.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he was racist. I think he was probably surprised to see a bobcat ordering a drink.
Well, I can understand that. I know bobcats aren't, usually big drinkers.
Right.
But sometimes you need, you know, wetter whistles.
Sure, I understand, right. All right, so you guys are just hanging out there in the animal farm, huh?
Yeah, mourning the vulture. We didn't know you said.
Sorry to break the bad news to you, Bobcat.
Oh, my.
I did not see the piece on 60 Minutes about LeBron James, although I do record that, so I'm interested in watching it because he really is a phenomenon.
Yeah.
Really amazing.
He is one of the great basketball players of all time. He's with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He was signed right out of high school, married his high school sweetheart, got a couple of cute little kids, has never been in any sort of trouble, just apparently one of those guys who gives back to the community, wanted to play in Cleveland because he grew up in Akron. And is just a hometown hero for the Cavaliers, as you can imagine. And
that guy. What do you need him for?
You know?
By all accounts, just the most likable, down-to-earth guy in the world. And I know that there's been a little bit of resentment towards some of these superstar athletes. You know, if you remember, Kevin, he signed something like a $90 or $100 million Nike contract before he even went pro. Remember? Like right out of high school, he signed that big deal. But you'd have to say the guy has kind of lived up to that early hype because he's a phenomenal player. He's one of those guys you just can't take your eyes off of when he's on the court. So they profiled him on 60 Minutes last night. In a clip that was released at the end of last week, one of the things that you saw in the interview last night is this unbelievable shot that he makes. From how far back would you say he is, Mike? It looks like he's got to be 60 or 70 feet from
60 feet's a good estimate, yeah.
So it was behind half court.
Yeah, they were probably about 10-15 feet behind half court.
Wow.
So he's standing there. He's talking to Steve Kroft from 60 Minutes. They have this exchange, and LeBron's holding a basketball, and Steve asks him about it.
Are you any place even remotely close to your peak?
I don't want to say I got a long way to go. I don't think I got a long way to go.
He didn't have a long way to go when he was 7, by the way.
Good point.
It's going to take a little process.
Okay. Yeah, we go sit down. Are you going to do anything with this?
Who, me? I'm not. You got it?
How many times can you do that in a row?
I'm one take, baby. That's all. I'm just one take.
That was he didn't even shoot it. It was underhanded one-hand throw, and it went right through from almost three-quarters court.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
I love that he turns to the 60-minute screw and he says, just so cop.
Yeah. Got it? Get that?
Yeah, just want to make sure you got that on video, because now I'm done. Because
most of us, if, and of course he's not most of us, but if we had made a shot like that, we would do the victory dance for about a half hour.
And then we'd ask for a copy of the video.
You got a copy? Can I watch it on your camera? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
he's just nothing. Yeah.
We would never stop telling the story about that one time that we hit that shot in front of a camera, right? So TMZ.com, God bless him, and our friend Harvey Levin, who we'll talk to later about the Vince the ShamWow guy and all the other celebrity stories that are going on, they put this clip up from 60 Minutes. And I saw it, I guess it was Thursday morning I saw the clip. And what shocked me about it was all of the comments that start coming in instantly with hate for LeBron James. All these people from all over the world who see this clip and then they post. Now, some of them are, some of them, as you surmise, Kevin, maybe fans of other teams, and maybe they don't really hate LeBron. They just, anyone who's not their guy or their team, they don't want to say anything nice about
him. He's the enemy.
Sure.
Right. So, for instance, one comment. Wow. Let's see that. He has 1, 2, 3. Oh, yeah. No rings. Make that shot all day, and Tim Duncan still has the scoreboard on LaHype. Okay, so that's a guy who clearly is a Duncan fan, didn't want to say anything nice about LeBron James, right?
He called him LaHype because his name is LeBron. How does he do it?
Then you get the kind of guy like this who posts this comment. Not a big deal. I've made plenty of half-court shots, and I don't live in the gym like these guys. They practice these shots all the time. Let's see him do it 2 times in a row.
What?
Oh, please.
Why do you have to tear down that LeBron James turned and underhanded that shot from 60 feet for nothing but net? Why is that not still a neat accomplishment?
Not a big deal. I made a lot of half-court shots myself.
why do you have to tear down a guy like LeBron James for doing something like that? Where is this coming from?
Is it possible that people hate him? He seems super likable to us. I mean, I'm a Laker fan, and I would love to see the Lakers win over him any day.
Sure.
But if he's playing, it's always fascinating to watch him play because he's so great. Do you think it's possible that people that are not sports fans of someone else and are not racist hate him for any other reason? I mean, has he done stuff that I'm not aware of? It doesn't seem like he's ever in trouble.
No, I don't think so either.
He doesn't do...
Never.
He seems like he's super likable.
Yeah.
One of the cleanest guys in the league, one of the nicest guys, does tons of charity work. I can't figure out where it's coming from. That dude shoots like a girl, I'm just saying.
that was
one of the texts.
By the way, that was from Bean. I was guessing when I read that. I'm just saying. I was like, oh no, Bean wrote.
All right. Now, here's someone who apparently, God forbid, a black man plays basketball. Listen to this one. Ah, the beauty of a Bonix. It's going to take a little practice. I'm one take, baby. I'm one take. Try those phrases at your next business meeting or job interview.
Shut up, douchebag.
What the heck is that about?
Yes, Psycho Mike.
I think with LeBron James, just like Kobe Bryant, that with guys who came right out of high school and they started getting massive amounts of money at a very young age.
I didn't think about that, a money thing.
Right, and people hate them because they feel like they're privileged. They've been touched by the hand of God to have this amazing talent, and they didn't have to work the same way. You don't see this with Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson or other amazing athletes because they went to college and it seems like they had to kind
of
work their way up. Yeah. With LeBron James especially, even more so than any other athlete we've ever seen, the guy was endorsed by Nike practically by the time he was 17 years old before he even touched a professional court.
Right. I get so, that. But isn't that impressive?
He deserved it. I mean, to use me, Lisa.
But yeah. It's not like they gave him all this and then he was a bust and then he didn't have the talent to back it up. I mean, he has lived up to the hype. I mean, before LeBron, were the Cavaliers ever in the playoffs? This is what, the fourth year in a row now they're going to the playoffs.
I just think that it's some people resent him for that. And also, there's a certain sensibility with the person that actually takes the time to sit down and make comments on a website.
That's true.
We need to talk about that another time, too, is the people who leave these responses.
Have you ever done that?
Of course not.
No. Exactly.
The rest of us haven't.
A certain mind frame of these people, you know?
Right.
By the way, we do want to take your phone calls if you have anything to weigh in on this conversation. Either you dislike LeBron for some reason, I want to hear from you, or you can't figure out why others do, or maybe you have a theory why others do. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Some of these comments on TMZ.com on this video, too, are not just about LeBron. These are people who believe because, I mean, maybe we live in an era where you can't believe anything that you see, like everything can be faked.
Yeah.
There are a lot of comments like this. They claim that was the first attempt. They probably shot that several times.
That
was your first comment,
too, because it's such a stupid, unbelievable shot.
But my feeling is it's 60 minutes. That's not what they do. If he took five shots to do it, they would tell you. They're not in the business of hyping someone else. They're in the business of finding out the truth.
Well, but they don't really. 60 Minutes, when they do a piece like this, is more just about a puff piece. They're not trying to find the truth. But you're right.
That would probably tarnish their reputation, I would think.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you don't doubt that LeBron could make a shot like that.
No,
you don't doubt that a lot of these NBA guys could make a shot like that
underhanded one hand. I would guess they would make 1 out of 100, even if they do it all the time.
Really,
I would. Don't you think, Mike? I mean, that's ridiculous.
He barely even looked at the basket. I mean, he just turned around and flung it. That's an unbelievable shot.
It really
Maybe
is.
Maybe he just got really lucky. Stupid. I mean, that's possible,
right? But if he got really lucky, that's where the rest of us go. Okay, well then he just goes, "Did you get that?" and walked off. No. You pause and you go, "Did you see that mother effer?"
NBA players do practice novelty shots all the time. I mean, whenever they have a free second, that's what they're doing, believe me.
That's the fun of it, right?
How many out of 100 do you think he or any player, Kobe, anyone, could make underhanded one-handed?
That's a low percentage shot.
It is. So ridiculous.
But what's wrong with just the joy of, hey, how cool was it that that happened? That's what I don't get, is why everybody's looking for a way to tear it down somehow. Either it didn't happen the way it appeared on the video, or he doesn't deserve it, or yeah, but he's bad because. It's just amazing to me how many people try to bring down a guy like this. I just don't get that.
Yeah.
Let's take one call before the break, and then we'll come back with yours at 1-800-520-1067. Let's try John in Lakewood. He's on line one this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, John, we're talking about LeBron James. By the way, you can see the clip, if you haven't yet, on the Kevin and Bean page of KROQ.com. Go ahead, John.
Morning, guys. Hi. How you doing?
Good.
All right. Hey, you know, I can't see how anybody can't be a fan of him. If you're a fan of the game, you know, Kobe's my number one player. You know, I'm living in L.A., dying hard.
I agree.
But it's just, I can't understand how you can't appreciate what he stands for the game.
When the Lakers are not playing the Cleveland Cavaliers, it's fascinating to watch, even when they do. But, I mean, you don't want him to win, but it's fascinating.
He does play for the Lakers. I mean, how can he not root for LeBron, what he stands for? You know, and I do believe that was a one-taker because I've seen clips where he does.
I mean, really.
But what about the guy who I read the comment from? Hey, that's not a big deal. I've made plenty of half-court shots, and I don't live in the gym like these guys.
Right.
What's that guy all about?
Well, he's an ass because he just does not get it.
Yeah, you know? I think this tells us more about people who leave comments than anything else.
Yeah, that's the guy that goes on Pros versus Joes and gets demolished.
John, have you ever left a comment on a website of any kind?
Never.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right. Thank you, dude.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We want your calls on LeBron. You hate him. You love him. You've got some explanation as to what we're talking about. 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back after this on the World Famous. Ralph has the Showbiz Beat coming up in just a few minutes here on K-Rock. Right now, we're talking about LeBron James on 60 Minutes last night. Please go to the Kevin and Bean page of K-Rock.com and see the shot he made from about 60 feet away, underhanded. You say it was one-handed? Did it look one-handed to you?
Yeah, I just turned and flipped it at the basket.
He really
and
did.
Here's the audio from 60 Minutes.
Yeah, we go sit down. Are you going to do anything with this?
Oh, me? I'm not.
Swish. Swish from like almost three-quarters court.
It's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous. And I, by the way, we haven't pointed out also that there are only two guys in the gym, and one of them is being interviewed, and Steve Cross says, "You going to do anything with that?" And he says, "Who, me?" No, everyone else in this gym.
So we bring it up because there's so much hate in the comment section of TMZ.com after they posted this video from people who are hating on LeBron James. I just can't figure out why. So that's what we're talking about. Let's try George in Santa Ana. He's on line 8 on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll try to get to as many calls as we can in these remaining moments. Hey, George. Thanks for holding on. What's going on, dude?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Lisa Mark.
Good morning, George.
What's happening?
No, I totally understand how you guys feel. I'm totally a Laker fan, and I love Kobe. But there's always going to be those people that just hate, you know? It's kind of like when you get a new car, and instead of saying, wow, you got a nice Lexus, it's like, oh, you paid too much for it.
Yeah.
Or
I deserve that, and you didn't get it, or whatever.
Or, you know, they're just big-time hardcore fans of whatever team, and, you know, LeBron James totally went out and smashed them one game, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Probably beat him by himself.
Yeah, ever since then, they're like, no, LeBron James sucks because, you know, they totally smashed my team. Yeah. And, you know,
anybody that says he sucks is obviously hates him for some other reason besides basketball because he doesn't suck.
Yeah.
He's a pretty amazing player. All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Yes, Mike.
I'm surprised you guys are having such a hard time relating. I mean, radio is the most, like, jealousy-filled world in, you know, out there. Practically comedy and radio.
Right.
I know, but when someone is at that level, you know, there's the people that are mucking around with you sort of at your level, and you can be jealous of them. But when someone is so much better than most everyone else and is a good guy on top of it,
it seems like
you kind of just have to hats off, whatever?
Yeah, I guess you're right. I think, you know, but like I said earlier, I think that people who are willing to take the time out of their day to write comments are obviously people who are ready to resent.
Yeah.
Especially like LeBron, who's so successful.
Yeah,
but I think the difference is, though, Mike, and I understand your point to the radio, but I mean, look, there are a lot of haters for a guy like Howard Stern, for instance, or a guy like Rush Limbaugh, for instance. You can't deny their phenomenal success and popularity, but at least it's an individual taste thing. You can go, well, that's not my kind of entertainment, or I don't enjoy that kind of radio. With basketball, if you're a fan of basketball, I don't know how you can't be a fan of LeBron James because he plays the game so beautifully. That's the difference there, is it's a little bit more objective. Let's try Jason in Los Angeles. He's on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Jason, what do you got for us, dude?
How's it going?
Good.
Hey, how's it going? It's Lisa. How everybody's doing today?
We're good.
Good.
What do you think?
I think it's just a bunch of hating. I mean, basically, it's just the same thing with Kobe. A lot of people just don't like him. I'm not a Laker fan, per se, but...
well, you're dumb, first of all. I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Jason.
But it's just hating. I mean, I've actually coached a lot of players. I've actually worked with Paul Pierce. I've worked with Sue Chandler, Aaron Afalo. I've worked with Tayshaun Prince. I've worked with a lot of players before, and that was just a lucky shot. I mean,
it was a lucky shot, right?
It was nothing scripted. It was spur of the moment thing. That is a very finished shot.
But if it's a lucky shot, then so what? That's my question.
A lot of people, like you said, about the guy that said, oh, I make that shot all the time. He probably is just trying to make himself look a little bit better than what he actually is.
Yeah, he's dumb.
Yeah.
All right. Everyone's dumb. Thank you, Jason.
All right. We found a hater. We got Ray in Norwalk. We've had some haters on the line, but then we've lost him before we went to the call. Ray is on line 1, though, and he's got a reason to not like LeBron James. Hey, Ray, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you got for us?
Sorry about that. I kind of slipped out of there.
Yeah, no worries. Go ahead.
This guy was getting like millions of dollars on sponsorships, Coke deals and stuff. Guy has not even shot a basketball. You know what I mean?
That's not his fault.
You mean he had early in life, he had a lot of that kind of money, right?
Well, yeah, they were paying him all this money, you know, and the guy hadn't even shot a...
Okay, but Ray, let me ask you this question. First of all, have you seen any of the YouTube videos of him in high school, which is unbelievable?
What? It don't count.
Okay, but Ray, but okay, I can see that. All right. But now since he's been in the – there are a lot of really great players that get into the NBA and just fizz out. They just – they're just not good, and they end up not being able to make it. This guy's been great ever since. How – I mean,
no,
I can
no
see
–
what are you talking what? About?
No Ray, way. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Ray. Even if we take your point that he got too much too soon based on his age and level of experience back when he was in high school, okay, since then he's been a – five-time All-Star. He's been the MVP of the All-Star game. He's been to the playoffs every year. He's had, I think last year, wasn't it last year that he, I think last year he had like 30 points a game. It was the highest of any player in the NBA. I mean, I think he's got all sorts of records. Hasn't he now proved that he deserves that money?
His rookie, okay, wait a minute, let's go way back. His rookie year. Did he even make it to the playoffs his first year?
NBA Rookie of the Year that year?
Yeah,
that's not impressive. Wait a minute, hold on. This dude came out of high school and was the player of the year for rookies.
And went to Cleveland, which was a crappy team.
Yes.
All of us were like, why is he playing for Cleveland? He wanted to play for because he wanted to be near home. That's why he wanted to do it. You can't hate him for that.
Him to go there.
Of course, but you are just, wow.
Okay, there's now we know who the kind of guy is who's leaving a comment like that on TMZ. It's Ray and haters like him. You struggle, Ray. Thanks for the call.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Monsters versus Aliens. A lot of people love 3D, apparently, because $58.2 million made it number one by far this weekend.
That's huge.
Or they love monsters and or aliens
and
as well.
Women who can become giant.
Right. That's very important.
Vagiants. That's what they're called. Women who become giants.
I didn't know they had a name.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The Haunting in Connecticut was number two at the box office. $23 million for that horror movie. Knowing came in at number three. I Love You, Man was four. Duplicity. Race to Witch Mountain. That Mountain was number six.
Dear God.
God damn it.
12 Rounds was number seven.
How many
seven.
More weeks in the top 10 for that one, Ralph? When are we going to be done with that joke?
I don't know. We'll see.
Wow. You are, like, super wise.
Thank you.
You're interesting.
Thank
you're
you.
Funny
and thank you.
Pretty.
Thank you. Watchmen was number eight, Taken. And then the house, last house on the left was number 10 at the box office this weekend. I mentioned last hour that Jenny McCarthy's ex-husband was spilling the beans about how kinky she is in bed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we said, that's pretty rough when your ex is telling tales like that about you out of school to the press.
Yeah.
But that's the best kind of thing that you could have an ex say about you, isn't it? How good you are in bed?
I think guys would feel that way.
Oh.
Women might feel like their private life had been invaded, you know, that personal secrets had been exposed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was thinking, you know, that's rough, but it's not so bad. And this story confirmed my beliefs when I read this article, which is an interview with Danny Bonaducci's ex-wife, Gretchen Bonaducci.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
Yeah.
He
should dream about someone talking about his sex life as opposed to what she's talking about. She says, when asked about, you know, he just got engaged to that 26-year-old girl.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, Danny Bonaducci is engaged to a 26-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And so they asked the former Mrs. Bonaducci what she thinks about it. And she said, I don't think that she will ever divorce him. I think Amy will hang on for dear life until they put Danny in the ground, which I anticipate will be 5 years.
Ooh. Wow.
I think Danny's time is very limited. Look at the abuse he's done to his body. I honestly think he'll be dead in 5 years.
Wow.
I think his new wife will ride out the storm until that day comes. That's what I really think.
Ouch.
I'm sure Danny's already cheated on Amy.
Wow.
She should be really careful what he brings home. Not to mention he can be scary at times. There were nights I was scared for my safety.
Sweet! Yeah, that's not what you want to hear about yourself.
How's life without Danny? She's asked in the interview. My life is 1,000 times better without him. Well, like I said, in 5 years, I'm sure Danny will be dead.
Wow!
I thought this was by one of your ex-wives, Kevin or Bean.
It's very
possible. So much hatred in it.
How about that?
Yeah, that's a rough. That's a roughie.
I just can't shake the feeling that woman is a complete tool.
She doesn't care for her ex. That's what I'm feeling.
But really, after watching that show, don't you go, I can kind of see where she's coming
from. I don't know how they didn't get divorced 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Honestly.
She said Danny's cholesterol is 350, by the way.
Is that possible?
That's why she's guessing you won't be
alive. Is that possible?
I suppose.
What's average, Mike?
Is it like a good, like around 100?
It's the low hundreds, yeah, yeah.
350.
350 is pretty strong.
He is going to be dead soon.
Here's a musical even Kevin would go see.
Nope.
I know usually Lisa's our musical expert. She loves the Broadway musicals, but I think Kevin would go to see this one.
Huh.
Apparently being developed as we speak at the Berklee Repertory Theater here in California this fall, American Idiot, the musical.
Oh, really?
A musical based on the American Idiot album by Green Day.
That? I think a lot of people would see that.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Apparently, it is being developed and directed by a Tony Award-winning director named Michael Mayer, who did a musical called Spring Awakening on Broadway, which was a big hit.
Yeah, that's an amazing show.
Yeah. Let's talk about Green Day some more.
Apparently, the cast will be an ensemble portraying characters from the album. Jesus of Suburbia is one character. St. Jimmy is another. What's Her Name is another. And apparently it will kick off the Berklee Rep's 2009-2010 season on September the 4th. Fall, you'll get to see American Idiot the Musical not too far away. We're up there in Berklee.
Do we know if Green Day is involved in any way? Or?
Green Day has just given their permission.
Hmm.
Apparently Billy Joe, Mike, and Trey all said they were shocked that someone would want to develop their album to a musical, but they immediately gave consent following two workshops that they saw being developed in New York in 2008. They think it's a great idea.
How about that?
Though they're not directly involved, of course, they did write the music.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Should be interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Kevin?
Practically everyone who's acted in, produced, or even seen a play is gay.
That's true.
Friends don't let friends come see their crappy play.
That's true, too.
So Kevin, you ready for some musical?
Absolutely.
And the woman who's been stalking CSI Miami's David Caruso was sent back to Austria last week.
She came from Austria.
She came from Austria.
For him?
For David Caruso.
Wow.
Yeah.
F*** that guy. What do you need him for?
Heidi Marie Schnitzer is her name.
Wow.
Heidi Marie sent more than 100 letters to David.
Oh, boy.
Professing her love. And then the last letter, she threatened to kill him when he refused her an autograph.
F you, you effing bitch.
That's not love, by the way.
No.
You kill. Say you love someone and they won't give you an autograph and you say you're going to kill him?
Kill does not equal love.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of with the Sean Johnson story last week, Kevin. I know you're on vacation, but Sean Johnson is a Olympic gymnast who's competing on Dancing
girl?
With the Stars.
Yes. Yeah.
A stalker was found breaking onto the lot, trying to kidnap her.
Okay.
Away from Dancing with the Stars.
And that's who you pick?
Well, apparently
aren't there hot chicks?
He's been watching her since the Olympics. He's been obsessed with her.
Right.
And he said that she talks to him through his television and also through ESP.
Wow.
And that she loves him and she wants to have his children.
Wow.
And in his car, they found duct tape, zip ties, a map to the location, a loaded shotgun, and a loaded handgun.
Oh, sweet.
I'd like to stand up for the stalkers and say that. I think Ralph is painting that in a way that makes it sound sinister, but there could be a lot of very reasonable explanations for those items in his car.
To which I would ask this stalker, if she loves you, wants to have your baby, and she's talking you through the TV, why do you need the guns?
Yeah, two guns.
Why do you need two guns?
Isn't or the duct tape.
Isn't she crazy about you? Isn't she just going to see you and say, oh my God, thank God you got my telepathic TV messages and you've showed up?
We should ship all of these people out of the country immediately. Just send them away.
Yeah, apparently this David Caruso stalker, Heidi Marie Schnitzer, was picked up in Mexico last month. She was on the run.
Yeah.
And she was deported last week.
Does Horatio Caine have anything to say to her?
Maybe the next hour.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I just dropped my birthdays. Hold on a second.
Oh, you dropped them?
I'm going down here.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
That's what she said.
Celebrity birthdays.
Is he under the table? Celebrity birthday. Yeah, they flew away from me. Celebrity birthdays today. Norah Jones is 30 years old today. Singer Celine Dion turns 41. Tracy Chapman is 45 years old. Ian Ziering from Beverly Hills 90210. He is 45 years old. Rapper MC Hammer.
Guy. What do you need him for?
Come on, it's Hammer time.
It is Hammer time.
He's too legit, man. Too legit to quit.
Yeah, he quit, by the way.
That's right, he did. Guess he's not that legit after
Never
all.
Happened.
He's 46. Paul Reiser, who at one time was one of the biggest TV stars on the planet.
Yeah, you're right.
Now,
that guy. What do you need him for?
Now that's what Hollywood's saying about Paul Reiser. He is 52. Eric Clapton turned 64.
Yeah,
and actor Warren Beatty, actor, director. He is 72 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We had a little brainstorming session, Kevin, while you were gone last week. When you're in town, when you're not on vacation, there's too much brain power in the room, and you overwhelm the rest of us. So we can really only have actual conversation when you're gone. So we were talking about how we have so many K-Rock listeners, and we get these sad, sad emails all the time. Our heart just breaks when we read these emails from people just are underemployed or unemployed, and they're really in dire straits. I mean, Mike, they're not actually in dire straits. That's just an expression. So we thought, what can we do to help the K-Rock listeners? And the first thing that we can do is welcome our next guest to the Kevin Bean Show, who represents a company that is looking to hire 1.4 million people.
What? Hello.
Tell me there may not be a job in there for some of the five K-Rock listeners. Let's say hello to Celeste Jimenez. She is the Assistant Regional Census Manager. Welcome to the show, Celeste. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Good morning, gentlemen, and Mr. May.
Good morning.
So the census is taken by law every 10 years, and it's coming up again next year. 2010 is when you're going to go around. The plan is to go around and count every man, woman, and child in the United States, right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. And you are, it's ramping up. This is the time of year where you start thinking about how you're going to make that happen. What are you looking for?
The census is done in two major operations. The first one, which is what we're starting this week, we actually verify every housing unit in the United States. So within 10 weeks, we will walk up and down every street and we'll verify to see where everybody lives or could live.
Wow.
Next year, which is what our big operation is we call non-response follow-up. And what that is we actually mail out all the census questionnaires based on the data we collect this year. And the questionnaires that we don't get back, we hire a small army of people to go out and knock on everybody's door.
And shoot them? Are they armed?
No.
No.
So they go out. So everybody that doesn't return their census thing, you send someone to their front door?
Wow.
That's a giant
That's a big job, right?
Don't have people come into their doors anymore much,
right,
you know?
I was just going to say, that doesn't seem like a good job.
We live in Southern California, so some areas, that'd be kind of scary.
Yeah, wow.
Is it a pretty good job for people who get hired by the Census Bureau?
Well, it is. You talk about people going into certain neighborhoods, but our biggest goal is to hire people locally so they know their community and they're not necessarily scared to walk around.
Oh, that's a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, they know their neighbors, the neighbors know them, they trust them, they understand the culture, the local environment, and, you know, that's how we get people to return the questionnaires back to us.
Huh, gotcha. All right, how many people are you looking for? Are you still looking for anybody in Southern California for phase one that's starting next week?
Well, actually, for the most part, we finished our major recruiting operations, but we do still have pockets where we are recruiting, and there are positions that will be coming up in the next couple months. Also, we have a permanent office. We do permanent surveys out of, you know, one of our offices here, and they're always looking for people to hire. So
okay, and this would be a good job for somebody who likes to be outdoors, right, and likes to get a little exercise while they work. I mean, almost all of this work that you're talking about is people going door to door, right?
Yes, I would say 95% of the jobs that we have are people actually going door to door and pretty much working out of their homes. We give them a computer, they get their assignments on their computer, they pretty much work out of their house or, you know, just within their neighborhood. So there's a lot of
that sounds good.
I know we asked you to be on the show, and I apologize. I don't want you to feel like you're ganged up on, but that's not a good job, walking door to door.
It is if you don't have a job.
I like that job. You like that job because you love counting. You love numbers, Bean.
I would love that job.
There's four people in that house. Add four to the number.
But not being in an office and being able to get a little bit of fresh air and listen to your iPod while you work.
Have you ever knocked on anyone else's door, Bean?
I'm saying there's a lot to recommend. Now, are you looking for full-time or part-time, Celeste?
These positions are mostly part-time positions, and the ones for the actual 2010 census are going to be temporary. So most of them last, for the most part, will last 10 to 12 weeks.
They're temporary because they get shot when they go up to someone's door, right? And then you have to replace them.
And two more quick questions, Celeste. What's the pay like, and how do people apply?
Okay, well, the starting pay for the people in the field is about $17 an hour, and that can go up anywhere to $20 an hour. So there's
$17 an hour.
That makes it worth it, right? You knock on a door, right?
I would put on a bulletproof vest and go next door. How do you pay $17? This is a government thing?
This is a government job, and we pay people for their training. We pay people for the miles that they put on their car. So, I mean, it's a pretty good gig.
Yeah,
Kevin, don't you watch the news? The U.S. government doesn't care about budgets, man.
No,
they just pay whatever they want. They're blowing money out of there, left and right.
Well, the thing is that, I mean, it's we have to stay competitive, you know, with what we're paying our employees. And the other thing, too, it's $300 billion worth of federal funding a year is determined on census figures. So it's pretty important that we do a good job.
Now, here's my question, and I've always wondered this, because the census, how often do you do it?
Once every 10 years.
Once every 10 years, okay. Here's what I always find funny. They put out the number, And then the Census Bureau says this number is completely inaccurate because there are, you know, whatever it is, there's 360 million or whatever there is in America.
Right.
And so you'll get the results back for like 200 million. And then you go, nope, this is inaccurate. There's 370 million. And I always think, if you already know what the number is, why do you do the census?
Well, I mean, we forecast what we're expecting to see. It's not until we actually get out there and count everybody, you know, do we actually know what we actually have. So.
And you're looking at different ethnic groups, right? The numbers of different groups?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. So it's not just the number of people, period.
Yeah, they compile an unbelievable amount of information. It's a major undertaking. I mean, imagine if your job is to count every person in the United States. By the way, Celeste, 10 years ago in 2000, I never got counted. I never got a form in the mail, and no one ever came to my house. So I'm feeling a little underrepresented right now.
They count human beings.
All right, Celeste Jimenez, Assistant Regional Census Manager. Last question for you. Where can K-Rock listeners apply if they're interested in jobs coming up now or for next year for the big census?
Okay, well, I'll give you a phone number. There's 866-861-2010, and that'll route you to the nearest office and give you information if they're actually hiring. The other one, too, is the 2010censusjobs.gov, and you can go there, and it'll link you to our local page, too, and that's where you'll find all our local jobs that we're still hiring for. So.
All right. Fantastic. Great news for KROQ listeners who may be looking for something different. We appreciate you coming on with us, Celeste.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
You bet.
Bye now. Bean was super serious with that interview.
Yes, he was.
He powered through, didn't he?
Well,
how much does it pay?
I will tell you, somebody listening who doesn't have a job or is looking to pick up another job, that's the kind of information that is useful to them. And that's what's going on right now, Kevin. There's a lot of people out there who will really be interested in an interview like that.
I agree, but only because they don't have anything else. It's not like they're going to be as excited as you are about it. I think
it sounds like a good job.
Yeah, I've never gone door to door, ever.
Because I've never had a reason to go door to door. But if I were a census taker, I'd get to.
Oh, dear
God. I sold Girl Scout cookies, and it is not easy.
It's not fun, right? Because
no,
people in general don't appreciate a knock on the door.
I know they don't. Believe me, I know. I mean, I get the Jehovah's Witnesses coming by my house every month. I know that you're not usually excited when somebody comes.
How many people are in this house? How many of you are Mexican?
How many of you are Jewish?
Thank you.
Before we get to giving away Depeche Mode in Berlin, here's something brand new that we are going to unveil on the Kevin and Bean page of KROQ.com. And this is live. It has just gone live this morning. And this is Kevin and Bean Give You a Hand job page. Now, what we're doing is, for instance, the census. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
The census information, for instance, is exactly the type of thing that you'd expect to find on our page, because we are going to ask anyone out there who is hiring, anyone out there who is looking for employees right now, and a lot of places aren't, but if you are and you would like to tap into the vast Kevin and Bean audience, in other words, you don't care about background checks. Doesn't matter if you've got an arrest warrant for drugs or guns, you still want to hire them?
Weed is good with you.
Exactly. So we're trying to put together employers who may listen to the Kevin and Bean Show with potential employees who may listen to the Kevin and Bean Show. And we actually have a form at KROQ.com where you can post your job listing and reach potentially thousands of people that you may be interested in hiring. So that's what we're doing at KROQ.com starting today.
So it says, business type, resume required, degree required. They put a doctorate on there. Come on now.
There are some jobs where you need a doctorate.
Salary range, contact name, contact email, all that information. So maybe, hopefully, you know, somebody that's listening will post some jobs, and then you can go door to door and get punched.
I love this. I think
get
this
punched
is
in the face.
Very
it's
cool.
The Kevin and Bean Give You a Hand job page is what it is. It's at KROQ.com and the Kevin and Bean page. And if you want to work for this guy.
Ooh. Yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there. Yeah, he's been real flaky lately. And I'm just not sure that he's the caliber person that we would want for upper management.
Yes, so that's the guy that is going to go to this page. And hopefully we'll be able to put these up, and then we'll be able to hook up K-Rock listeners who are looking for a job with people who will have you go door-to-door and get shot. All right, that's the plan?
That's the plan.
I'm just back from vacation. I just want to catch up.
No,
make
that's
sure.
It. You
All
got
right,
it.
I understand.
Depeche Mode is invading Southern California this summer, as you know, with two shows at the Hollywood Bowl. And then this morning, an Orange County show goes on sale at 10 o'clock for Depeche Mode at the Honda Center. We gave away tickets to that all weekend long here at K-Rock, and everybody who won was qualified for the grand prize drawing we're going to do right now to send you to see Depeche Mode in Berlin, one of the great cities of Europe. I don't believe I've been to Berlin. I'd love to visit there sometime.
They make good products, I hear.
I understand. If it comes from Germany, it's got to be good.
Yep. Yeah.
That's what Vince the ShamWow guy told us.
But look what trouble he got in, so, you know.
Hello?
Is this Mike Homick?
Yeah, this is him.
It's Kevin and Bean from K-Rock.
Hey, how you doing?
I am good. How are you?
Good.
You know, you qualified for a contest that we're doing here at K-Rock by winning a pair of tickets to see Depeche Mode at the Honda Center on August 19th.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I wish you hadn't said that.
Which means that unless you have a record, unless you're a felon, you get to go to Germany.
That is awesome.
That's pretty cool, right? Depeche Mode in Berlin, Germany. You got round trip airfare for two, hotel for two, tickets for two, and $500 spending cash.
Nice.
Wow.
Have you ever been to Germany?
No.
Well, congratulations.
They're going to love you.
Yes, they are.
Because you're a party.
Oh, wow. Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome. As usual, we would like to ask, and very few people follow up on this, but we would like to ask you take some pictures and send them to us and give us some kind of a post-trip response, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Let us know how it
went. A recap, yeah. Because I think most of the time what happens is the return flight somehow gets all screwed up, and then they get stuck in whatever country we send them to.
Yeah.
So we usually don't hear from them again, but...
We're asking for some follow-up to make sure that everything goes okay. Mike, is that all right?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right.
All right. Dude, get your passport. See you in Berlin with Depeche Mode on the 19th of August. All right? Way to go, and thanks for listening to Kevin and Beach on K-Rock.
All right. Thank you, man.
Then. Bye.
That guy is not a party.
I think it's what Lisa was pointing out. Or was he asleep, or what was happening there?
Apparently, if he can't swear, he can't talk.
Maybe all of the above. But I would be really excited if I won that trip.
I know.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing he was. Maybe he was nervous, whatever.
Probably. You know,
I'd have something to say. All right. So now that we've given away Depeche Mode in Germany, we out, right? I mean, clearly there are no other great bands coming to town and nothing else we can hook you up with, right?
That is incorrect. K-Rock is proud to present U2 at the Rose Bowl October 25th.
Yay!
All week long, you can listen for your chance to win the ultimate summer vacation with U2. You can see U2, and listen to this, tell me if this isn't too much for one winner. You can see U2 in France. Okay, that's kind of sucky because it's France. Germany, Holland, and Dublin, Ireland.
Dude, U2 in Ireland is part of this? Come on.
Wait a minute.
In Dublin.
Are you
hometown.
Saying that you go to all of them?
Yes.
You don't choose?
Correct. You go to all of them.
No kidding.
How crazy is that? Four different cities. You get to pretty much travel with the band. Be
the
roadie.
You'll get stuck in one of those cities.
No question.
There's no way all those connections are going to happen.
You'll get high and miss your plane, and you'll miss all four shows. But that's what we're giving away if you can, you know, keep
manage
up with it.
It. Yeah.
This Rose Bowl show has been rumored, of course, for some time, but now it is official. It is happening October 25th, and tickets going on sale 1 week from this morning, Monday, April 6th at 10 o'clock. It's the only show they're doing in, not just in Southern California, but in all of California, by the way. This is it. The Rose Bowl, they figure, is enough.
Wait, are you saying this is it?
This is it. I'm saying this is it. That's right. And then, of course, you get to see the show not only there, but you get to see the show in four other countries. So it's a pretty good deal. The winning starts next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Here's some more details in case you've already forgotten them.
Listen to K-Rock all week for your chance to win a summer vacation with U2.
Okay, here's the deal.
Travel around Europe for 10 days and see U2 in France, Germany, Holland.
And ending in U2's hometown of Dublin, Ireland.
I might just say that hanging with K-Rock is this pretty posh.
Qualify all week and get tickets to the U2 360 Tour at the Rose Bowl.
Sunday, October 25th.
Tickets on sale next Monday at 10.
Their only California show.
A really special event.
A summer vacation with U2. Winner announced Friday morning with Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean. You know what I mean.
Keep listening to win. K-Rock.
So, Dennis Rodman has problems, guys. I don't know if you've been watching this Celebrity Apprentice or not.
I didn't see it last night, but I did see all the teases last week. About how he's drinking a lot. He's had a drinking problem his whole life, though, hasn't he?
I didn't know that.
Oh.
Really?
Well, notorious drinker.
I mean, you knew he was a partier.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely is. And I think part of the problem with Dennis Rodman is that everywhere he goes, he has this reputation as being a, you know, such a partier that everybody wants to party with him. You know, everybody expects him to be crazy and outrageous. But, well, last night it was bad news for Dennis Rodman and the meltdown. We thought we'd get an update on Celebrity Apprentice, which is a big mid-hit on Sunday nights on NBC. And, of course, the star of the show is the Donald himself. Mr. Trump joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock as he does each Monday morning. Hey, Donald.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
the greatest show on television with the highest ratings for any program ever on NBC that's 2 hours long, that is after Kings.
All right, well, can't argue
when
that.
When you put it that way, maybe you are right. Another very exciting episode last night. Donald, what do you want to tell us about it?
Last night, the challenge for both teams, Athena and Kotu, were for them to run a hotel. So we got Lowe's to give us a hotel to use, and both teams had to run it and try to make every experience their guest had the most top-notch service they'd ever received.
Oh, wow.
Now, on one team, T-Boz was the project manager. I don't know her real name. She's black.
Is that Tion?
Yeah, that's the black girl,
is that
right?
The Salt and Pepper chick?
She was in TLC,
TLC,
I think.
TLC, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, I know Salt and Pepper.
Okay.
But I don't know T, L, or C.
Okay.
The other team manager was Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
To make the best possible high-class hotel experience.
Right, because who could do that more than him?
And Dennis had some ideas right away for his team.
Let me be the front man, and guess what? We're going to win this test. We're going to win this test no matter what. Not because of me. It's us.
Can you do it without the F-bombs?
No, honey, I'm going to cuss you. Honey, I'm very good at that.
Yeah, he went from F-bombs to S-bombs.
Wow.
He wants to be the front man, the face of the hotel.
Yeah.
That's what Dennis is going to be.
That seems like a bad idea.
And Dennis has plenty of ideas, too, for how the hotel will impress people. Like, he wants to get a Ferrari and park it outside the hotel.
Okay.
And that'll make the hotel seem cool.
Okay.
It's Brian McKnight, one of his teammates, had a problem with that.
You want to just park a Ferrari out front?
Yeah.
Considering these people are going to be inside the hotel, what do Ferraris have to do with them being...
People look at cars. People look at people. They look at people. They look at my ass all the time.
You know...
Wow, okay.
Dennis does have a point.
Take it easy, Dennis. What the hell? What? That's not an argument.
People.
That's how you argue, Kevin.
People look at cars.
People do look at cars, that and people look at people.
That's true as well.
So he has a point, Brian McKnight. Well, when the hotel opens for business, the guests start showing up. They start asking, making special requests from the concierge, which is Dennis.
Oh, no.
And one of those guests wants to see the Broadway play, Billy Elliot.
Okay.
A very famous Broadway play.
Sure.
Except to Dennis Rodman, who doesn't seem to know what or who Billy Elliot is.
How do you feel about some Billy Elliot tickets?
What's your plan at?
What's my plan?
What's your plan at? What's he plan at?
What?
The concert.
Oh, Billy Elliot.
Yes.
It's, I don't know, some theater.
If it's not planned... We'll make it happen.
All right, perfect.
Thank you, thank you. We'll make it happen.
That's right. If Billy Elliot isn't in concert somewhere in New York, Dennis will call him up personally, and he'll put on a show for you.
I love Dennis Rodman.
I have all of Billy Elliot's records.
He does good work.
He does great work. Well, the show just keeps getting better because they've got Herschel Walker doing the room service.
Okay.
Now, Herschel gets an order for a Chardonnay, and the brand name of the Chardonnay is Acacia.
Acacia?
Acacia Chardonnay.
Now, I'll have a
Acacia. When Herschel tries to explain this to Dennis Rodman, we get one of the greatest comedy routines you've ever heard since maybe Who's on First with Abbott and Costello.
Hey, Dennis, they order Acacia Chardonnay. They did not order this. We got to. They've screwed both of these orders.
Okay, now we'll get a case of Chardonnay.
No, a Acacia.
Okay, so we need a case of Chardonnay.
Acacia Chardonnay.
Acacia.
Yes, Chardonnay.
Like a case, like a big case, or a
no,
case.
No, Acacia.
He is the best.
I still don't think they have that worked out yet.
He is the best.
I don't believe their guests ever got their Chardonnay. Well, here's what happens. Dennis is trying so hard to give the guests a top-notch experience that he walks two gentlemen down to a waiting limousine for them to go out and have dinner and an evening on the town.
Okay.
The problem is Dennis gets into the limousine and goes with them.
Oh, no.
To enjoy his evening. Dennis gets loaded. He leaves for 4 or 5 hours and comes back to the hotel while the other team is still working, and he comes back loaded. This presents a problem, especially when two female guests approach the desk looking for some information.
Oh my God, you're back. Wow. Look at those guys. Look at those guys. Wow.
Follow me.
Wow. Look at that. Look at your ass. Rock and roll. Yes, guys. In Vegas style. You know what? In New York. The only place in the world you can have a good time besides what? Vegas.
That's right.
What the hell is he talking about, Donald?
He's drunk.
Man drink like that and he don't eat, he is going to die.
I haven't seen anyone like that since Kevin was in Vegas last time.
How dare you?
Well, everyone starts to complain to Dennis about the fact that he's a little bit out of control. So Dennis does what Dennis does. When people criticize him, he walks off the show again.
I'm out of here. I'm out of here. They're too cool.
Yeah, it's their fault.
Yeah.
They're picking on him.
Donald, isn't it true that I think we're four episodes in and Dennis Rodman has quit every single challenge that his team has been a part of so far?
Yes, he's walked away every time.
Right.
But he always comes back.
How do you
usually
not...
Usually drunk.
How do you not fire that guy?
Well, let's see what happens when we get into the boardroom.
All right.
And I have to point blank, rather.
Oh, really? Oh,
point
really?
Blank, do you?
Point blank, ask Dennis how he thought his team did since he is the project manager.
So, Dennis, think you won?
No.
You don't think you won?
No.
Why? Why do you say that?
Just because. Just because.
Yeah. Just because.
Just because. That's a good reason.
The best answer anyone has ever given on any episode of Apprentice.
Didn't he just, in that episode, say they're guaranteed to win?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I needed some more information, so I had to talk to the only sane person on that team, Jesse James.
Yeah.
Jesse, what happened? What's he talking about?
I don't know what he's talking about, but I think, you know, I think Dennis has obviously got a drinking problem.
And at that point, it became a very special episode of Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, wow. No.
When we spent a half an hour talking about Dennis and his drinking problem. Surprisingly, Dennis doesn't agree that he has a drinking problem. In fact, he says that Phil Jackson once said he was the greatest athlete he's ever coached.
What?
So that way he doesn't have a drinking problem. Even Herschel Walker says, that was then, this is now. Well, I had no choice. I had to do what I had to do.
Yeah.
You let me down, you let yourself down, you let your team down. Dennis, you're fired.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, absolutely. He said, as he left.
Does that mean does it look like he was trying to get fired?
No,
he gave
up. Trying to get drunk.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And we were getting happy in the way of his drinking.
Well, what about what happens now? Now that the villain is off the show, is it still going to be great the rest of the season, or do you think we're really going to miss Dennis Rodman?
I think Dennis being out of the way just gives Joan Rivers more room to be a bitch.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but you seem to love her. You seem to.
I love Dennis.
Yeah, but you. Yeah,
I love them all.
Yeah, but you. But you really love Joan.
Or L or C, whoever her G is. I don't know her. Is.
All right. Nice job. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
Thank plenty of time, dude. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
When Kevin was gone last week on vacation, I missed the panic of not knowing whether something was going to be there when the record ended.
It's called excitement.
It is. It's okay? Excitement, right. Sorry. All right. A guy who has invented an iPhone application to prevent you from drunk dialing your ex-girlfriend, along with other things. Coming up after the news at 8, we'll talk to him. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Monday morning. What's happening?
Well, then what's the point of drinking?
That's a good point.
If I'm not going to make an ass of myself drunk dialing people, this guy is bogus.
Like, drunk dialing is a bad thing.
And so I can't drunk dial on my iPhone. Well, good thing I don't have a phone in my house or a phone anywhere else I can get my hands on. If I want to drunk dial, no, you're not stopping
this
me.
This program
what I'm
will
you.
Stop you from going over there.
Really? Paralyzes
yes,
you?
Yes, it does.
Hit your central nervous system? Oh, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Monsters versus Aliens. Jeez, I wonder who won. Pixar, that's who won. $58.2 million made the number one movie in America. By far. The Haunting in Connecticut was number two at the box office.
Is anyone in that, Ralph, or is this just another low-budget, no-star horror movie that can make $20 million out of the gate?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh!
You can't say that.
Tell Kevin.
I didn't say it.
Yeah!
Welcome back.
Woo!
Knowing was number three at the box office. I Love You, Man was number four. Duplicity. Race to Witch Mountain that map.
I punch you right in the face. Jeez, you've been doing that for 2 weeks.
People, look at cars.
That's true.
People, look at people. 12 Rounds was number 7 at the box office. Watchmen was 8. Taken was 9. Last House on the Left round out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Zac Efron.
Yes? What's going on with my sweet Zac?
Take the bell away from him.
What's going on with my sweet Zac?
Was coming out of a restaurant called Besso last night, celebrating a friend's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he was pelted, bombarded with Q-tips as he left the restaurant. Because there have been recent pictures of Zac at the 17 Again premiere in London.
Yeah.
It was a shot of him from the side, and there was all this foul-looking brown earwax and dirt in his ear.
God, no.
Holy shit! It's Zac Efron!
It's the most disgusting thing ever.
Wow. You can see in the photo?
Yes!
Wow,
that's how bad it was.
That is a lot of wax.
Big clump of brown-looking wax hanging out of his ear.
You mock, but I bid on that wax on eBay, so we'll see if I win it.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
So, as he was leaving the restaurant, paparazzi pelted him with Q-tips.
They did the right thing.
Absolutely, they did. It should have been bricks. Or bullets.
That is awesome!
I don't think bullets.
Well, I'm not shooting them. Just throwing them. They do a lot less damage. Yeah. Casting news, Ian Somerhalder. Remember him from Lost? He played Boone from Lost. Has a new job. There's a new series on the W. Nope, on the CW. Called Vampire Diaries.
What?
And he will play Damon, a vampire who can go from playful to evil in a split second.
Oh, I hate those kind.
Those vampires are the worst.
Yes.
All right, okay. With the whole vampire thing now?
Yeah.
Enough. Enough Twilight and True Blood. Enough. Vampire Diaries on the CW is not going
to
be good.
CW, they have to do the crappy knockoffs now, Ralph. That's what happens.
Come on with the Vampire Diaries.
I like vampires.
I know, I do too. But seriously, the Vampire Diaries on the CW?
Just some dude reading his,
that's
reading
right.
his diaries.
I like blood. Dear diary. Bob Barker's returning to The Price is Right.
What?
Coming back for one day. To appear in an upcoming episode of The Price is Right. Apparently, he is coming on the show to pimp his new autobiography, Priceless Memories.
So the price is wrong, bitch.
That's what it should be.
Stop by his old stomping ground. Pick up the skinny mic. See how it feels again.
And a few of the skinny models.
That's right.
As well.
Getting some strange backstage on a washer-dryer combo. And Jeri Ryan has a new job as well.
Ooh.
She was 7 of 9, of course, on Star Trek. One of the Star Trek shows, Voyager, I guess it was.
She played 7 out of the 9 characters. That is unbelievable.
She's talented.
Wow.
She was also Shark's boss on Shark with James Woods, one of my favorite series.
Yeah.
She played
like
a lawyer.
Too.
She is returning to the legal profession. She'll be playing a lawyer on Law & Order SVU this spring. So, congratulations.
Remember my my big celebrity sighting with her, Ralph?
I don't.
Was at a party. She walked by me and said these words, and only these words. And I wasn't talking to her. I didn't say hi. That shirt's gay.
Oh, that's right.
I just kept on walking. I turned around. I was like, what?
Yeah. Well, she was right.
That was quite funny.
Were you wearing a shirt that had stripes by any chance? was there any possible odds that the shirt you were wearing at the time had big stripes on them?
It's possible.
Is it? Considering the fact you don't own anything but striped shirts?
It is possible.
What's with you and stripes?
I don't
Seriously.
Know.
Everything you own is striped.
I can't really answer that. I don't pay a lot of attention to the clothes I wear.
Well, that's obvious.
You'd be surprised.
I bet you just accidentally blunder into a salad once in a while. Today's celebrity birthdays. Norah Jones is 30. Singer Celine Dion is 41 years old. Singer Tracy Chapman turns 45. Ian Ziering from Beverly Hills 90210 is 45 years old. Has he been back on the new 902? Has he showed up? Anyone know?
I don't know.
You should ask Dave. He's
Dwan.
Dwan, that's right. He watches. MC Hammer's 46. Paul Ryan.
Yo, what's going on? You got the hammer, man.
Wow.
Oh, he was 46.
Paul Reiser's 52. Eric Clapton turns 64. And Warren Beatty. You're going to do that every time I mention
yep.
Eric Clapton?
If you're doing which mountain comedy?
That mountain. Warren Beatty's 72 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
If you are hiring, if you run a business and you're looking for employees, you can now tap into the wonderment of the Kevin and Bean audience by going to the Kevin and Bean page of KROQ.com. We put up a new page called Kevin and Bean Give You a Hand job page where you can post your job listing and get hooked up with listeners if you need to get some. I hope that works out. I'd like to see that happen. Here's a guy, our next guest on the phone with us right now, is a guy who figured out an interesting way to make a living. Just invent something and sell it to iTunes.
Oh, yeah. Why didn't I think of that?
That'd be all right.
These iPhone applications are unbelievable. There are thousands of them, and they are downloaded millions of times. And a fascinating one was invented by our next guest, John Genest, who joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, John, how are you, man?
Doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Thanks a lot for the email last week. You invented something called the Bad Decision Blocker, which is a little bit of an awkward title, but it's also pretty accurate with its description, isn't it?
Yeah. It basically allows you to select contacts from your address book in your iPhone and block them for a duration of time, you know, whether it can be anything from an hour to a week.
So if you know you're going out drinking tonight and you have a problem drunk dialing your ex or something like that, you can say, okay, so for overnight, block their number?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
So now, you pick the length of time that you want it blocked for, John?
Right, up to a week.
Can you also block, because I can imagine a breakup where you just wanted, like, have no contact. Can you also block them from getting in touch with you?
No, that's the one unfortunate thing. The Apple, the developer's platform doesn't allow you to.
Okay.
But typically, I think the person that you're blocking isn't looking to call you.
Yeah, well, I see what you're
that's
saying.
True.
Not
yeah.
Two in the morning, they're not.
I can
that's
see
a
that.
Good point.
Here's a little of the news audio from this.
You ever text message anybody and then the next morning went, oh, why did I do that? Or maybe you sent an email that you did not mean to reply to all, but you did. Well, now, Apple's iPhone has a bad decision blocker. It temporarily blocks you from contacting any of the numbers on your phone.
That seems like it would certainly cut out a lot of the fun. Man, so when people hit reply all, that's the best. I've done that before where I insult our bosses or something like that, and then they go, hey, try not to hit reply all next time.
You know, everyone could see that.
When it's not you, it's fun to win.
It's great when it's somebody else, right? All right, John, please tell us the story of there had to be some ugly incident in your life that prompted you to say, wow, if I'd only had this product, and therefore you had to invent it. What happened?
Yeah, I'd been kind of dreaming about this for at least 2 years, especially in college, you know, giving me a cell phone while drinking was like giving me an 8-year-old a t-shirt can at a crowded playground, you know. It's
nice.
Irresponsible, but hilarious to witness. It's just, there's so many, you know, actually my girlfriend right now was the biggest victim. Somehow I kind of, when I was trying to date her.
Yeah.
It was like, well, you know, why aren't you coming home with me? And I'm going to send, you know, you can send text messages. It's almost instant gratification.
Oh, so you were texting her stuff like
texting
that?
Texting was the worst.
Yeah, of course.
Far.
Yeah.
And you know they're getting them. And if they don't respond, it makes it worse. And you're on a spawn again.
Yeah.
Again.
But let me ask you this, John, because it seems to me like if I'm drunk.
Yeah.
This is a mess.
And I want to call somebody. I just dump my iPhone and grab someone else's and say, could I borrow your phone? Does it keep you from doing that?
I think that's on your friend to be a good friend and not let you do that.
Okay,
but
exactly.
Know, therein lies the problem. If they're drunk too,
yeah,
they may want to see you do that.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So if I go to iTunes and bring up the apps available for download, will I see the Bad Decision Blocker? It's available now for everyone?
Yes. Just search Bad Decision Blocker.
Does it cost anything?
It's 99 cents.
99 cents? That's a bargain if it can keep you from making bad decisions.
This is like a public service announcement.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we make a lot of bad decisions. I think that's why.
John, I'm glad you emailed us, and I'm glad you came on, because every once in a while something like this will come along where an invention comes to our attention that we didn't even know we needed, and now I can't imagine how we'll ever live without it. So I'm glad you came up with the Bad Decision Blocker. Good luck with it, all right?
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, man. Bye.
Friday night at the Gibson Amphitheater, it's the first annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, and we're going to give away some tickets right now. Not just regular tickets, but fancy pants tickets, which is
all
the front
right,
row,
I love pants.
And the reason right. Ronnie Bingenheimer is here, although he is a rock and roll legend and, of course, works in the middle of the goddamn night, Sunday night into Monday morning here on K-Rock, he's
Ryan
also,
rock
we found
show.
Out, we found out last week. He's also a comedy savant, Kevin. He has a photographic memory. He has heard and has memorized every single joke ever written. Rodney
has. I know
all
the jokes.
I know that's true about music. You know jokes
too,
as well?
Sure.
Wow.
All the comedians used to hang out at the English Disco.
Is that right?
And we'd all swap jokes.
You don't strike me as a particularly funny guy, though, or as a guy who really enjoys comedy. You never seem to be – I never see you laughing or happy, Rodney.
So this pigeon walks into a bar and says, "I'd like a Diet Right Cola."
It's not a joke,
and the bartender says, "Okay, but we're out."
so you call
– sunflower seed.
Oh, that wasn't the end of the joke. I'm sorry. I couldn't tell what it ended. So you call right now at 1-800-520-1067. You give us the setup for the joke, and then Rodney will finish it. If he does it, you go into the drawing to win front row seats for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness this Friday night at the Gibson. Now, it is sold out. It's an all-star night of comedy. Who's playing, Rodney? Which of your favorite comedians are going to be on the bill?
Billy Squire.
It's not a comedian. No.
Bonnie Tyler.
Nope.
Bruce Hornsby.
Not a comedian.
Actually, no.
Benny Mardones.
No. It's Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Moore, Kevin Nealon, Patton Oswalt, Joe Rogan, Ray Romano, Jeffrey Ross, and Sarah Silverman is the actual
Paul
lineup
Hardcastle.
That we have.
Rodney, have you heard of any of
Cetera?
Any of the names that Bean just mentioned?
Pepsi and Shirley.
Okay, that's ridiculous. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to play Rodney the Joke Machine.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Rodney the Joke Machine.
It is Rodney Bingenheimer. He likes to tell a lot of jokes. You would not think that this dude is a really funny guy. You tell him any joke and he will tell you what the punchline is. And that's how he got his nickname, Rodney the Joke Machine.
Hey. He's Rodney the Joke Machine. Hey. The Joke Machine. He's Rodney.
All right. Shalom. Let's start with Adrian in Northridge on line 8, please. Adrian, you're our first contestant. If you can stump Rodney, you'll go into the drawing to win the April Foolishness tickets. Go ahead with your joke.
Why can't Helen Keller drive?
Because Terrence Trent D'Arby.
That's it?
That's not even a sentence. Complete
because Terrence Trent D'Arby?
Adrian, is that why Helen Keller can't drive?
No, because she's a woman.
Oh, see?
Oh,
yeah. We thought you were going with blind.
Yeah.
Okay. Adrian, hang on. You are in the drawing. Thank you so much. Let's try Jay in Baldwin Park on line 7. Hi, Jay. You're on with Rodney the Joke Machine. Go ahead.
What's up, party people? Yeah, what kind of bees make milk?
Kind of bees make milk.
Kind of bees make milk. Sheena Easton.
That's not even a bee.
She's Scottish.
Okay, what does that mean? Is that the right answer, Jay?
No, it's boobies.
See?
See
what he did?
All right, passed the pencil test.
Got some high-quality jokes here. Rodney, I'm surprised you didn't know either of those.
I did.
Oh, okay.
Nori is in Glendale on line 6. So far, 2 for 2 on stumping. Rodney, let's see how Nori does. You're on with the human joke machine. Go ahead.
Okay, what do you call a Mexican with a rubber toe?
Pet shop boys.
Is that correct? Is that what you call a Mexican with a rubber toe?
Call him Roberto.
Roberto.
Wow. You're getting jokes out of Highlights Magazine now.
She loves that joke.
I love Highlights Magazine.
I bet you do.
I like Goofus and Gallant.
Sure. Roddy, do you know any jokes? Because so far, everyone is stumping you.
I know them all. They gave weird answers. I
gave
the right
ones. Weird answers?
Yeah. Oh.
They're wrong. Let's try Randy and Torrance on line 5. Hi, Randy. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Stump Rodney the Joke Machine.
All right. What is brown and rhymes with Snoop?
Brown and rhymes with Snoop. Rodney?
Spandau Ballet.
Doesn't rhyme. Neither of those words rhyme with Snoop. Is that correct, Randy?
It is not. It's Dr. Dre.
See, because he's...
rhymes with Snoop.
Kevin is in Hollywood on line 4. Kevin, everyone has stumped Rodney. Let's see if you can keep the trend alive. Go ahead.
Rodney, what's the new Octomom breakfast at Denny's?
Kid Creole and the coconuts.
Is that the correct answer, Kevin?
That is not, no. It's a dozen eggs, no sausage, and the guy next to you pays for it.
Nice.
Oh, there you go.
Nice.
See, he's doing topical humor, Rodney. Come on, that's a funny joke.
He's working from the news. You haven't known any of these.
I've known every one.
Oh. Eddie in San Fernando, good morning.
Good morning.
What is your joke, please? Can you hear us?
Yes, Eddie, go ahead.
All right.
Yeah, why did the woman cross the road?
Why did the woman cross the road?
Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Rodney, I thought you knew punchlines. I thought
that
you knew
is.
Every joke.
She went to go to Hollywood.
That doesn't even make sense.
Her name was Frankie.
Eddie, is that right? Frankie Goes to Hollywood?
No, no, that's not it. It's, who cares what was she doing out of the kitchen?
Yeah. Yeah, women suck.
Rodney, you're 65 years old. You've never been married, though, right?
That's, come on now.
I'm just saying, it's interesting. You don't meet very many confirmed bachelors at your age.
Let's go to Josh in Glendale. Good morning, Josh.
What's going on, guys? Hey, Rodney, why do they stop driver's ed and sex ed in Mexico?
Because level 42.
It's not even a complete thought. Is that right, Josh?
It's funny. It's a funny joke.
No, it's because the donkeys couldn't take it anymore.
See?
Oh, Josh. Oh,
wow, donkeys suck.
All right. Rodney, we just have time for one more. Let's see if you can
get
beat
this one.
All right.
Okay. Mike is in Monrovia, the final contestant to stump Rodney the Joke Machine. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Rodney. Why do birds fly upside down over the 909?
Why do birds fly upside down over the 909?
Yeah, that's the setup. What's the punchline?
The Plimsolls?
Oh, no.
Is it the Plimsolls, Mike?
No, it's there's nothing there worth crapping on.
See?
Wow.
What he did?
I see what
that's
you did.
A dig.
Boomtown rats. Boomtown rats.
No, he already gave us the punchline, Roddy. It wasn't that at all. All right. So we got your Mike, your Josh, your Eddie, Kevin, Randy, Nori, Jay, Adrian. All were able to stump Roddy the Joke Machine. Only one wins tickets in the front row for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness this Friday night.
Adrian in Northridge.
Adrian in Northridge was our first joke. Why can't Helen Keller drive? Congratulations, Adrian.
All right.
And to you as well.
I'm not sure what that
I hate the 90s.
He's Rodney, the joke machine, the joke machine, he's Rodney.
Just announced this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, U2, it's official, they are coming back to town, this time at the Rose Bowl, October the 25th. Nice that they can still play a small club at this stage in their career, by the way. I appreciate the intimate setting of the Rose Bowl.
I was talking with Bono the other day.
Listen to you.
You know, just hanging out, you know, sure. Bono and I, like we do, you know, on Tuesdays.
And he said
this tour they're going to try and do something different, which is 360 degrees. Like it sounds like they're going to be in the middle, and somehow they're going to make it accessible to everybody. He said they've never been able to figure out how to do it until now.
That's so awesome.
He's lying, because we've all been in the last row of the Rose Bowl, and you just can't – you can barely make out the people on the field. So I don't know what the hell he's talking about. But anyway, here's the deal. Tickets go on sale for that show next Monday at 10 a.m., and we're going to be giving away tickets all week long. And every time you win, you're qualified for the ultimate summer vacation to see U2 in four different countries. How about that? France, Germany, Holland, and Ireland. Your chance to win and qualify for the grand prize drawing coming up this morning on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
First, let's go to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Good morning, Harvey.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Harvey.
How was your weekend, Harvey?
It was good. How was yours?
Fantastic. Well, better than Vince the Sham Wow guy when the word got out about this story, which I guess the arrest happened last month, but how did it become known to us this weekend?
Just the police report kind of came out, but what a story. So this is a little controversial. I mean, I'm not sure exactly how to say it, but I'll kind of say it the way we said it in the post on the website. So you know who the Sham Wow guy is, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yep. I'm Vince for Sham Wow. He's an infomercial king. He's been selling millions of Sham Wows on TV for the last year.
Well, so he's in Miami Beach, and this is according to the police report, I should say.
Okay.
That he meets this hooker, takes her to his room, and they make a deal, and he starts kissing her. And then she allegedly bites his tongue and won't let go.
Was that part of their deal?
I don't think so, because he started punching her to get her, to shake her loose. So they end up arresting both of them for aggravated felony battery, and the prosecutors then decides not to prosecute either of them. We actually got a picture of her. I don't know if you saw it on the site this morning, but she's got some black eyes here. Here's my question. I mean, somebody bites your tongue, you punch them.
I think
it
won't let go.
It always makes me super nervous to see pictures of women being beaten up. But if this happened the way they say it did,
Yeah, you get them
you
off.
You have to try to get away
somehow.
From that.
You have to get her off.
I mean,
what are you going to do?
And if that happened, I mean, believe me, I'm not advocating. It's not an issue of domestic violence.
Right.
It's an issue of somebody bites your freaking tongue and won't let
go.
Yeah.
That seems bad. And by the way, why is she hanging on? What?
I don't know.
It's weird. Like, why would she do that? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, she's getting the $1,000 to do what she does. I don't understand. I mean, we'll never know. We weren't in that room.
Rabies.
What precipitated the fight or whatever.
She's
but
got rabies.
Look, this is what I said to you, Harvey, and what I said to our listeners at the time of the Chris Brown Rihanna story, is it should be your policy to never, ever hit a hot chick. I mean, that just,
any chick
just doesn't make any sense.
Any chick is what you mean.
And I saw the pictures of this woman before the black eyes, and she was really hot.
Right. I mean, look, I don't know what really happened. If that scenario is what happened, I mean, maybe that's why prosecutors decided not to do anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is not about hitting man. This is about pure issues of self-defense.
Yeah.
If that happened.
By the
way, that may not happen.
She was biting his moneymaker, too. I mean, that dude, talks and sells things.
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow. You'll be saying wow every time you use this towel.
So, you know, that dude needs his tongue.
Ralph reported earlier, Harvey, I'd like you to confirm his sources tell him that the police couldn't find any blood at the scene because the ShamWow apparently soaks up 20 times its weight in blood.
Is that true?
It's so true.
You've heard that as well. Okay.
It's actually going to be in the infomercial now. It's the next infomercial.
A hooker bit my tongue.
All right. Harvey Levin is on the line from TMZ.com. Let's talk about a story that you just posted that's just breaking, which is this new Britney Spears audio tape. What's this about, Harvey?
Well, you know, there's this... She supposedly left a voicemail. It really does sound like her. On January 21st, basically saying, you know, I want to talk to you about ending the conservatorship. And I'm guessing she left this on this lawyer's answering machine. And he's the dude who's been kind of intermeddling in all of this for a year now, trying to get her to leave the conservatorship. And he's working with Sam Luffy and the whole thing. So she's saying, I want to talk to you about it because I'm afraid my dad's going to take the kids away. You know, it sounds like her, and I know that there have been times when she's been frustrated by the conservatorship. I hasten to add that, you know, her dad's with her on this tour. The tour's a huge success, and her dad and the conservatorship are kind of running the show.
It does seem to be working.
It does seem to be working.
I have some tape of the 911 call. See if this sounds like her. Is that her?
No. That's Pat O'Brien, Kevin.
Oh, that's not the same.
And I don't think this is a 911 call. I think this is a voice tape of Britney leaving a message allegedly for
on
her.
On the lawyers. It sounds like it's on the lawyer's machine.
I thought the lawyer had to protect, I guess not, your personal information. How did
out? Well, very good question. How did this, that's a really good question.
Thank you, Harvey.
How did this thing get on, you know, YouTube if, you know, if it, in fact it was left with a lawyer? That's an interesting question. There's something called attorney-client privilege.
Right, that's what I thought. Right. And so couldn't he be prosecuted for this?
Well, if it was left in the lawyers. But it does sound like she's leaving it with a professional, at least when you listen to it. But I don't know. I mean, look, she goes back and forth. She's frustrated. She's an adult. She has kids. She has a tour. And it's, you know, it sucks being, you know, a conservatee where you can't make your own decisions. So,
yeah,
I mean, she can't be saying, oh, goody, daddy's controlling my life.
Right, of course.
Hey, speaking of attorney-client privilege, Harvey, I don't know why I've never asked you this before, but in the unlikely event that Kevin or Bean or Psycho Mike or Lisa or somebody gets in trouble with the police, can we call you to be our attorney?
Yeah,
would you do that for us?
Right?
Well, the only way, only if there's a writer that I can put whatever you did up on the site.
But
like, I mean, you need a writer to do that.
I just want to know, Harvey, if we've built up enough of a relationship with you after all these years that you would take our case if we needed it.
You have no idea how many people have called me at 2 in the morning.
I'll bet.
Okay.
I'll bet.
All right.
You
have no
idea. No, but can we get a yes, Mr. Liar?
That is not a yes.
you got a yes, but if you say, if I'm giving you a yes, which I am, then you got to let me talk about Kobe.
That was my final question was going to be, what's the update on this case with the housekeeper? Because the stuff she is alleging seems crazy.
And by the way, we have to take our case to People's Court, too.
Yeah.
If Harvey represents us.
Yeah,
there's a lot of different things.
Yeah, right. This is a full-service operation here.
All right, what happened to Kobe?
Well, it's the greatest story ever. Now, have you guys connected the dots on this thing about what this maid, a former maid, is saying that basically Vanessa is a total bitch who's screaming at her and yelling at her and making her do awful things? Now, did you guys
guys, you guys saw this?
I saw the story, and I didn't quite understand why she would make him make her put her hand in a bag of poop.
What? Okay, let me connect the dots, because I think that's the point.
Okay.
So let me connect the dots, because this is just great. Now, by the way, Kobe totally says it's BS, that it didn't happen. But
you mean that's what kind of S it was, you mean?
No. This is really great. So when you connect the dots, here's what the maid is alleging. She is alleging that the maid threw a really expensive blouse of Vanessa's in the washing machine and ruined it.
Uh-huh.
So Vanessa made the maid go into the trash can where there was a bunch of dog poop and root around in the trash can to find the receipt for the blouse so that Vanessa could see how much the blouse cost so she could then deduct that amount from her paycheck.
Wow. Wow. Really?
That's when you connect the dots. That's clearly what's going on.
This is her alleging this. We don't know if it's true or not, but wow.
No, they're saying it's not true. But the allegation, it's like,
go
through this dog crap so we can deduct $690.
Well, if there's one thing we know about Vanessa, she did not allow Kobe to hire a hot housekeeper or nanny or maid. That's for sure, right?
One would think.
That is true.
I know. You're right.
too much temptation there. All right, keep up with these and all the stories at the world's number one entertainment website, TMZ.com. And, of course, weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11. It's TMZ Television. Harvey, great to talk to you, man. We'll do it again soon.
See you guys.
106.7, K-Rock is KROQ.
Magnificent.
It's the Kevin Beach of that, of course, the latest from U2. And K-Rock is proud to present U2 at the Rose Bowl October 25th. We've been talking about the rumors for a while. This is actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
And all week long, you can win your tickets to that. And you can qualify to win the ultimate summer vacation with U2, which is a chance to see the band in France. And then you travel with them to Germany. Well, not with them. I'm sure you don't go on their plane.
Right.
And then you go to Holland, and then you get to see them in Dublin, Ireland, their hometown.
So, that's amazing.
It's pretty cool.
I like that magnificent song. You don't care for that one, Ralph? I think it's good. I think it's sweet.
All right.
I like it, too.
Lovely.
But it's hard to argue with sweet. 8:56 on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Friday we talked to actress Emily Blunt.
Yeah, we did.
About her new movie called Sunshine Cleaning, which is about some women who get a business together to clean up crime scenes. You know, after someone gets killed and they got to get their head out of the shag carpet. Well, we're going to talk to a K-Rock listener who does that for a living this afternoon between 5 and 6 on Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde, and we're going to give you tickets for the sold out Kevin and Bean first annual April Foolishness this afternoon on Cinco de la Tarde. Right now, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday morning. What's going on?
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Monsters v. Aliens came in at number one, $58.2 million. That's a lot of goddamn money.
That is a
movie.
A lot. Yeah.
The Haunting in Connecticut, number two at the box office, $23 million. Knowing was number three. I Love You, Man was number four. Duplicity came in at number five. Race to Witch Mountain. That mountain.
Don't
right
do
over
it.
There. Number six. 12 Rounds. Number seven. Watchmen 8. Taken number 9, and The Last House on the Left came in at number 10. Your box office countdown this weekend. Congratulations to Bruce Willis and Emma Heming. They got married again this weekend.
Again?
First time was in the Caribbean, but they had a smaller, simple celebration Friday here in California. Apparently, it was made official. A civil ceremony was done at a friend's home in Beverly Hills this weekend. Now they're officially man and wife here in the States, as well as the Caribbean, so it's all very legal. Look, if I was Bruce Willis, I'd never stop marrying Emma Heming.
Yeah.
I'd do it every weekend. It'd be like a standing date. Saturday night, married? Yeah, again? Okay, you got it.
She's actually younger than Ashton Kutcher, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's funny. Because, for years, Ashton Kutcher was the one that they pointed to as being the ridiculously young, person who married Demi Moore.
Right.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, this is a guy funny. And a chick. It's very different.
Well, totally different, yeah.
But I do believe Emma is only like 9 years older than Bruce's oldest daughter.
Ouch.
Right
on.
That's
going
to be a lot
off. Right on.
Sad news. I found out this weekend that 8 is Enough and Charles in Charge co-star Willie Ames was holding a garage sale this weekend.
Really?
At his house in Kansas. Trying to raise money to survive.
Put like old shirts on the lawn. And,
yeah.
Oh.
Also, apparently the 48-year-old actor had a bunch of autographed photos and posters and other memorabilia on the lawn trying to sell that off.
That is unfortunate.
Yeah. Is that where you sell your autographed memorabilia is on your lawn?
Couldn't what about
get
eBay?
To the, couldn't he get to the
eBay.
Beverly Garland Hotel for one of those signings they do every weekend there?
That's weird.
Yeah, apparently Buddy Lembeck's got some troubles.
Ralph, wasn't Willie, you're talking about Willie Ames, right?
I am, sir.
From Charles in Charge and A's wasn't enough, he in the God Squad for a while? Wasn't he doing some of
he
those
was Bible
movies
Man, bitch.
That's what I thought. Yeah, he was Bible
his,
Man.
That was his character.
He was Bible Mother Effin' Man.
I don't think.
Where's the Bible Man money?
I don't think Mother Effin' was
first
in
of
the
all, I don't think Bible Man generated a lot of cashish.
Yeah.
I think he was doing it more for, you know, religious reasons.
Okay.
And then, you know, he stopped worshiping God, started worshiping the crack pipe.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
And that's when his home was repossessed, his car was repossessed, wow. His wife left him after 22 years.
That's just not good.
However, there is hope, because witnesses say there was a film crew there filming the garage sale. So maybe we'll get a reality show out of it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound fun.
Yeah.
From Willie in Charge, I can think of it. Charles,
he was
out
on
of control.
Celebrity Fit Club.
Yes, he was.
Season, and it's so funny because he obviously got tattoos during that phase of his life when he was hitting the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Because he seems like a clean cut guy now, and then he takes off his clothes to do the weigh in, and he's got like dragon tattoos and like Satan kicking children.
Sad. By the way, speaking of the tattoos, we were talking about Celebrity Apprentice earlier. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see, you saw Ralph, when Dennis Rodman took off his shirt last night when he was quitting the job and he was changing back into his street clothes with mm-hmm. his t-shirt and sweatpants? I now have Dennis Rodman's body.
And he now has yours, you mean?
Yeah, he now has mine. It's really more accurate, yeah.
Yeah, he could use a few sit-ups.
He's that out of shape?
Oh, yeah.
He's not in playing shape, that's for sure.
Wow.
He looks Bean-esque. Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
That can't make anyone happy.
Kind of sad.
You know? He looks Bean-esque. So,
he looks like he's wearing a dark brown cashmere sweater stuffed with chicken cutlets.
Are those available?
I don't even know what that is.
Sweater full of cutlets?
Is that a custom deal?
That's a custom deal. You gotta do that. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor, director, writer, star, Warren Beatty, womanizer, 72 years old today. Musician Eric Clapton,
Eric.
64 years old. Paul Reiser, who was on a show called Mad About You in the 80s, I guess it was. 90s, I guess it was.
Maybe early 90s.
NBC. Yeah. Biggest, huge sitcom ever, him and Helen Hunt. And then that show went off the air. And Paul Reiser joined a monastery or something. I never see the guy working in anything anymore.
He is gone, yeah.
There aren't very many of those guys who, you know, make the cash and I think just live off that for the rest of their lives because they can. They don't feel the need to work anymore.
That's true.
That's a good observation. David Faustino is another one who comes to mind as a guy who was on a huge show for like 11, 12 years and then just vanished.
Rapper.
Yeah, about his rap career.
He's a rapper. Grandmaster B, bitch.
Right.
Grandmaster B.
What about him asking me if what kind of shake I want at Fry's at McDonald's down there in La Brea?
I'm just saying Paul Reiser's probably doing all right, probably making big cash from that show,
right.
And he's not the kind of guy who's motivated maybe to work again.
I think he wrote a baby book after that, but that was it.
Oh, that's right. Parenthood. That was his or something. Mm. MC Hammer's 46 years old today. Ian Ziering is 45. Tracy Chapman. He's got a real fast car.
She's crazy.
People like cars.
People like to look at cars.
People look at cars.
People look at crazy. People.
Why is she crazy?
She's
crazy.
What?
Macy Gray?
Why is Tracy Chapman?
No, Tracy,
not Macy.
Tracy
oh.
Chapman is who we're talking about.
Macy Gray from?
Just that's the name.
First of all, I said Tracy
you
Chapman,
did.
And then I sang a Tracy Chapman song.
Yeah, like that helps me.
And you went right to Macy Gray.
I'm as sharp as ever.
Wait, who are we talking about?
That vacation really paid off. You got a real best. Oh, Macy Gray.
No wonder I was confused.
In the hall, feels the best like I was drunk. I love that Macy Gray. She's crazy. Celine Dion is 41 years old today.
Oh, she's crazy.
Is that all?
She is crazy.
Celine Dion's only 41, Lisa.
She
yes.
looks older, she doesn't
looks,
she?
She looks rough.
Yeah.
She's emaciated, that's why.
Yeah.
She's becoming jerky.
Canadian tell that jerky. Girl to shut up.
Nora Jones is 30 years old, and that's it. I'm done. Still getting over the Macy Gray thing. Still confused. Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's talk about the movie Sunshine Cleaning.
Okay.
I did not see it, but everybody that has seen it is raving.
Yeah.
Well, you got your Emily Blunt.
Hot.
And you got your Amy Adams.
Hot.
And they play sisters who have fallen on hard times, who get into a business that, shall we say, is not necessarily for everyone. They do crime scene cleanup. This is not, the police don't clean up the scene after they have, you know, taken the pictures and the fingerprints and gotten the reports and everything. They just, they leave. You know, they take the body away. The coroner comes to take the body away. But whatever's left over, somebody's got to clean up. And that's what they do in the movie. And that's a real life job, folks, that you can get. And we've got a K-Rock listener named Deanna who is on the phone, who runs a company called Critical Incident Response. That's what she does for a living. Hey, Deanna.
Hi, how are you?
Well, great. Thanks a lot for joining us this afternoon. I'm sure people ask all the time when they find out what you do, why?
Why? It's a good job. We definitely keep busy.
Now, you started this business?
Myself and a friend of mine started it about a year and a half ago.
Okay, and how did you come up with this? Because I got to be honest, in my list that I would make of jobs that I want, it's way down there.
Well, we were trying to, we worked together at a company, and we were trying to think of a company that we could open on our own where we'd only be answering to ourselves.
Right.
And we started going through the list of things we've been through in life, and I had cleaned up a scene years ago when my brother-in-law committed suicide. We didn't even know there was a company, and it was really... You know, not a big deal to clean it up. He had done a similar thing with a
I'm sorry.
Family member.
Can I just stop you there?
Yeah.
No big deal.
Well,
to clean up after a suicide of your brother?
Well, it was my brother-in-law, not my brother.
All right. Well, that's fine then. Okay.
Yes, if it was my brother,
good riddance.
It would have been a big deal.
Okay, I got you. So, in other words, if you're the type of person who's not freaked out by the squeamish factor of this, if you don't care what it is you're cleaning up, it's really just like any other cleaning up job, right?
Exactly. The bodies are gone, the coroners have cleared the scene, and you're basically cleaning up a mess and saving the family from having to deal with it.
Oh, right. So you feel like you've gone through that and you can save them some heartache.
Exactly.
I see. Well, I'm glad you're out there. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I'm glad people
too.
Do that. I just couldn't.
Yeah, there's a lot of jobs that you don't want to do, but you're glad somebody else does, right?
Exactly.
Now, it makes it look like in the movie, two things. One is it's pretty heavily regulated in terms of disposing of things that you have to throw away and whatnot. And two is that you can make some pretty serious cash doing it.
Both are very true. The actual biohazard itself, it's very regulated. You have to we have a special company that comes out, picks up all the biohazard, takes it away. They destroy it. They incinerate it, that type of thing. And then all the stuff without blood, we just take and dump. Like a mattress, for instance, we cut out all the biohazard and then get rid of the rest of the mattress. It's not like you see when they're walking down the street with the blood-filled mattress.
Right, and you pull up carpet.
Oh, not only that, once it's in the carpet, it gets into the padding, it gets into the flooring, and depending on the age of the house, you have to deal with the flooring. Because if it's not concrete and it's the wood and it's saturated, we have to cut that up as well.
Wow.
And some of these jobs, and again, I know very little about this topic, except having just seen the movie, Sunshine Cleaning, it's kind of fresh in my mind. Some of these jobs you go into, and you've got to pretty much take everything out of a house where somebody's died and there's nobody else to do it, right?
Oh, definitely. Or ones like shotgun suicides, it's everywhere. So you have to remove everything in the house from all, everything ricochets everywhere. You've got to clean everything. Yeah, it's very time intensive.
By the way, the shotgun suicides are playing Coachella. Very good band.
Deanna, has there ever been a time where it's grossed you out or where you've had some nightmares as a result of something that you've seen or an image that you can't get out of your head?
No, definitely no nightmares. Some are disturbing. A lot of times when there's children involved in it, or we had a shotgun suicide of a young woman not too long ago where she had a really young child and all the baby toys were in the room. And
wow.
Had a lot of blood on that. That kind of stuff is both myself and the other owner have children. So that was kind of disturbing just because it kind of personalizes it.
How is that kind of disturbing? That's a deal breaker for me.
Well, it was just a tiny little bit disturbing, Kevin.
Again, we were keeping the grandparents and the husband from having to clean up the mess. So you have to really weigh it with, you know, while it is disturbing, at the same time, it's okay because you know you're doing somebody a service.
You are a better human being than I. That's all I'm saying.
Deanna, we don't have much time, but if somebody is interested in this line of work, how much training is involved?
Yeah, it's actually pretty intensive. You've got to have to become a registered trauma scene practitioner with the California Department of Public Health. And if you're going to open your own business, you have to get the normal business license for any other business. You have to get all the different insurance. You have to have workman's comp. You have to have general liability. And then plus all the equipment, which is very expensive to, for a startup.
Yeah. There's so, nothing about this job that sounds good. It's really difficult to get into. You have to get all kinds of licenses. You got to deal with biohazard. It's hard work. But anyone can do it.
But once you get into it, it's very rewarding. My 18-year-old son does it with us, and it's a good job. And it's, and right now, unfortunately, with the current economics, there's a rise in suicides, and there's a need for this business.
Thank God you're there. Thank God for the rise in suicides. Right? You're staying really busy.
There's a silver lining, Kevin. It's not all bad news today. All right. Your company, again, is called Critical Incident Response. Your website is CIResponse.com. Is that right?
Exactly.
CIResponse.com. Okay. If people want to check it out. Hey, are you hiring, by the way, Deanna?
We're always hiring. We're always taking applications.
A surprise.
People just really need to make sure that they're able to handle the sight of blood. We do a lot of, people bleed out.
I'm getting nauseous talking to you.
Well, it does take a special type of person to do this.
I don't think I'm the one.
All right. Well, you never want to see Deanna come into your house, that's for sure. But I'm glad you came on the Kevin and Bean Show today for Kevin and Bean's Secret Daily Trotting. We enjoyed talking to you, Deanna. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So, Kevin, you're back from vacation last week. How was that?
Yes, awesome. Went to the Caribbean. Very excited about
nice.
That. Island called Grand Cayman, which is kind of over by Jamaica. Mm-hmm. I think it's the closest island to Cuba, too. I was thinking of defecting, but...
it doesn't work like that.
Oh, but it's this amazing place where we went swimming with stingrays, which is awesome.
I now, never hold on knew a sec. You could do that.
I thought stingrays
either.
Were bad. I thought they were something you wanted to avoid in the water.
You know why? Because of Steve Irwin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing I knew, too. But they say everybody that comes down here goes out. And so I was like, well, let's do it. So my wife and I got on a boat, took a 25-minute boat ride. And the thing about the Grand Cayman Islands is that the water is really, really shallow in certain places. So after a 25-minute boat ride, you get off of the boat and stand in the water. It's like 2.5-3 feet deep.
That's amazing.
And these giant stingrays swarm.
Oh, my God.
But they're super nice. And we kept it. I made a joke on the way out there, and people don't appreciate my sense of humor necessarily out in public. I made some kind of joke about Steve Irwin, yelling down from heaven.
Probably sensitive to a tour operator whose job relies on stingrays.
Right, but isn't that what everyone's thinking?
Of course.
Didn't a stingray jump out of the water and stab that dude in the heart?
Yes.
Right? That's all I know about stingrays.
Yeah, I agree.
So knowing that, what made you think, ooh, now I'm going to tempt fate and get out there and let the stingrays do the same thing to me?
Because you can. How many opportunities do you get to do something like that where you're in their environment? And
how many opportunities do you get to play Russian roulette, too? It doesn't mean you want to do it.
A tourist operator said it was safe.
That's right.
Why wouldn't you believe
him? Why wouldn't
him?
I believe him? So, no, they said on the way out that these things rarely, if ever, sting people. And if they do, it's got a little bit of venom, and it kind of paralyzes your muscles, but just really locally. It just was a freak
really
accident.
Really not a big deal.
Well, it was a freak, weird accident that this one stabbed him in the heart. And then that property of paralyzing the muscles what killed him.
Right.
Hang on a sec, because apparently, I don't know how, but apparently the hotline to heaven is calling us for some reason. I think... Maybe we got somebody who has information on this topic, this story. Hello?
Crikey!
There he is!
Don't do it!
Is it Steve Irwin?
Don't swim with stingrays!
Whoa! Crocodile Hunter, I know you've been gone a while, but we actually can't use language like that on the radio down here anymore.
Crikey, what's wrong with you?
Well, I don't think all stingrays act like the one that killed you.
If one does it, that's enough!
Well, you do only need one.
That's what I thought as well, but they said it's super safe, and you...
Oh, did they?
They did! And usually...
They told me it was super safe, too!
And usually, the only people that get stung by stingrays, they told us, were people that kicked them or somehow make contact themselves.
No, the only people who get stung by stingrays are those who are in the water with them. People on dry land almost never get stung by stingrays.
But people in the water also almost never get stung by them.
But the ones that do get stung are in the water with the stingray.
All right, see, listen, you
so
can't...
the best way not to get stung is to not get in the water with the stingray.
It was one of the coolest things I've ever done, and they feed you, give them food, and you feed them.
Yeah, and when you're out of food, they get really angry.
Okay.
And they stab you in the heart.
You can't blame Steve Irwin for being sensitive to this topic, though, Kevin. I mean, he does have a right to be pissed off at the stingrays.
Crikey! Well, did my death not teach anyone anything?
Your story was the only thing I've ever heard about stingrays.
Well, there you go. And it wasn't enough to keep you from getting in the water with them.
Well, I may have been drinking a little, but the guy told us it was safe.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
That's what the guy you and told you too without a
whoa.
And now look at you.
Steve, heaven has not
you AIDS having mother.
You didn't talk like this at all. You were all about your little wife and kid when you were here.
Well,
you
never angry because a stingray stung me in the heart.
Yeah, that did happen.
That's not conducive to a good time.
I had a blast, and I would recommend it to anyone else that has the chance. If you're lucky enough to have the chance, go out in the water. Don't be a pussy like Steve Irwin.
I'm a pussy! I used to wrestle alligators!
Well, don't do that. That's dumb.
But... I do all kinds of crazy things.
Right, but then you also made a stingray mad. Right? You shouldn't do that. Steve? Steve?
Steve.
Mr. Irwin?
Thank you.
Ralph is here with our first look at the showbiz beat for a Monday afternoon. What's going on?
First look? It's your only one. The only one you get.
Sure.
I only first give you one look. Look quick. I'm like a flasher. Give you showbiz news and I run. I'm out. I'm gone. So enjoy it while it lasts. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? We do it every Monday. Monsters.
Huh? Monsters?
Monsters and Aliens. In its debut, $58.2 million it made. That's a lot of mother 3D right there.
Ralph.
Ralph, you can't use that language.
I just did.
People like the movies they can take their kids to, first of all. There's been a pretty good track record of pretty good movies that are animated lately. But some of it has to be that the ticket prices are higher as a result of this new technology, I imagine, right?
Ticket prices are higher, new technology. What are you talking about?
Well, because it costs more to see the 3D, and then more to see it in IMAX.
Oh,
the ticket price.
I know IMAX is more, but I don't think 3D is. I don't think they raised the prices for 3D in a regular theater.
Huh? I think it's that Monsters Inc. was a great movie. I really like that movie. You guys,
and this
the original
is somehow related to that.
Monster, isn't this the same?
No.
You can't use language like that either, Kevin.
Not even the same company.
Monsters and Aliens.
This is DreamWorks.
Yeah.
That was DreamWorks. Was Disney.
Kevin.
I'm a little
just
off.
Because the word monster is and, in both titles.
Well, it is also animated.
And it was the same characters. It was the same characters.
No.
What?
This movie, Kevin, Monsters and Aliens, is a sequel to Charlize Theron's monster movie that she won the Oscar for about the serial killer.
I didn't realize that.
This is a sequel to that. This is a sequel to Monsters Ball, and Halle Berry plays a giant alien. No, this movie is
I'm confused.
Standalone, separate, has nothing to do with any other movie made before it.
All right.
Macy Gray in it?
Macy Gray, though, is in it, yes.
I need a vacation.
Wow. The Haunting in Connecticut was number two at the box office, $23 million. Knowing, new Nick Cage movie.
That's not a good name, by the way.
Was number three. I Love You, Man was number four. Duplicity was number five. Race to Witch Mountain. Was number six.
Hey, listen, we all feel like that once you introduce that joke.
I didn't even do it. Didn't even do the joke. I don't need the moans. I don't need the sighing without the joke.
I heard Witch Mountain. That's all I heard.
12
it's a reflex now.
Rounds, number seven. Watchmen, Taken, and The Last House on the Left rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
Wasn't Monsters, Inc.?
Monsters, Inc.? Nothing to do with Monsters and Aliens. Completely different.
All right.
Separate.
Shrek?
Nope. No connection. AOL Online has done a survey asking TV fans to name their favorite TV doctors of all time.
Favorite TV doctors.
Interesting list has popped up. This is in order of preference. They've got 20 here in the list, but I'll just give you the top 10. Number 10 is Dr. Philip Chandler, who was played by Denzel Washington on Saint Elsewhere in the 80s.
Okay.
10th most popular TV doctor.
Don't remember that.
That's saying something.
All right.
Frasier Crane, number 9.
Okay.
Doug Ross was number 8, played by George Clooney on ER.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Bones McCoy
from
Star Trek, number 7. 7th most popular TV doctor of all time. Jim. Doctor, not a mechanic. Number 6, Doogie Howser.
Word.
Dr. Douglas Howser. Neil Patrick Harris. Way before he started by the way.
Oh, my God. Come on.
I'm just saying it was.
How does it have anything to do with this?
Because he was a little kid. He was Doogie.
So?
He was sixth on the list. Gregory House, only fifth on the list. Can you believe it? Can you accept that?
Well, I know you're outraged.
Can you accept that?
He doesn't have a good bedside manner.
Good point.
So much.
Yeah.
Especially when you see the other names on the list. Number four, Dr. Miranda Bailey.
Who's that?
From Grey's Anatomy.
I guess she's in Grey's Anatomy.
Come on!
I guess she's...
She's Dr. on that show.
No.
I don't think she is.
That's not her name?
No, I think she is a fat black midget.
She's Bailey, yeah.
Yeah. That's about right. I'm pretty sure.
I thought you were kidding. No, yeah. Okay. I'm pretty sure that's what she is on that show. Dr. Jack Shepard.
Who's that?
He was on Lost.
Oh, yeah, sure. Magic Fox?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, sure.
Kevin, were you only gone for a week or were you gone for 10 years? Because I feel like
you've forgotten
everything.
Maybe the island he was on was skipping like a needle on a record. And he has gone through time.
I am sharper than ever.
Dr. Mark Green from ER, played by Anthony Edwards on this show, was the second most popular doctor ever on television.
Crap.
Can I guess?
And the number one most popular doctor in television history, according to AOL Television.
Phil.
Dr. Phil.
Phil, not even on the list.
Pepper. Oh.
Dr. Pepper. Is that the number one? We need another drum roll, Bean, because we...
Not Dr. Pepper, either. Not Dre.
Jay?
Dr. Jay!
Yeah. A rare 1970s basketball reference from Bean. All right, we need a drum roll.
Oh, come on!
Who's number one?
Hawkeye Pierce.
Oh! Yay!
Dr. Benjamin Franklin Pierce, played by Alan Alda on the TV series MASH.
That's a good choice.
America's good favorite doctor. TV doctor.
Yeah.
Okay, good list.
Okay, Bean approves. We can all move on. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Warren Beatty, 72 years old today. Paul Reiser is 52. MC Hammer turns 46. Ian Ziering is 20. No, he's not at all. He's 45 years old. Tracy Chapman, who these days goes by the name Macy Gray.
I think they're different people.
Kevin was just confused this morning.
45 years old this morning. Celine Dion's 41, Norah Jones is 30, and Eric Clapton is 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.